The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together hooky, the Addams Family.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I see dead people.
Paul Perillo.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm your number one fan.
Andy Hart.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Eric Scalavino.
Blank, pale, emotionless face. And the blackest eyes. The devil's eyes.
PFW in Progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
They're coming to get you.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress Halloween edition, I guess. Good, Kevin. Getting into the holiday spirit. It's really not a holiday, though, is it really?
Sure it is.
What are we celebrating? Candy?
No. Well, you might be.
Well, really, what are we celebrating on Halloween?
Are you just the most miserable person ever?
How can you not like Halloween?
Like, what are we celebrating?
Well,
I still like it, and I'm 26.
Is it a holiday?
Yes, it's originally a pagan holiday.
Right.
From long ago.
Right.
That has been morphed into sort of a pop culture phenomenon.
Okay. All right.
And it's just fun, Fred.
Welcome to PFW in Progress.
508-298-0398
is the ace ticket hotline.
It's just a fun fact.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Eric's here. Paul's here. Andy's not here. He had to stay home, tend to some sick kids, I guess.
Well, the Halloween party must have hit hard.
Yep. Kevin's in the booth. So we're still basking in the glow of the London trip in the first time we've had Eric on the show since London. And
yeah, I'm getting some.
He's got a
I'm
lot
getting
of
some.
No,
well, I just can't believe he came back.
I'm getting.
He's very upset that he had to.
No, I know.
I was
I can't
kind of upset that we had to. But I'm even more upset that I'm hearing about the treatment that I received on the show behind my back yesterday. I'm hearing it was one of the nastiest things ever.
You're
here
get
now.
It in front of you now.
No, I know, but why?
Expect a lot more of the same.
Why the invective?
Why'd you come back?
There was no invective.
I heard there was.
You hate us so much. Why did you come back?
I don't hate you all so much.
Oh, that would be disingenuous.
Well, he does look down on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you that. But, yeah. I mean, I don't hate you.
No.
Hate's a strong
word,
Paul.
The trip started right off the go with a change from PFW Eric to E-Scal.
E-Scal.
You know, and, like, he couldn't separate himself enough from us just by being, you know, intellectually superior.
Right.
Now he has to just
wait. You're taking offense. You're taking offense that I changed my Twitter handle.
Well, I don't take offense to anything.
The UK guys,
you just hate us.
The UK guys even told me that on whatever
they
it is, LinkedIn or something. You don't even mention that you work here.
That's inaccurate.
The UK Patriot fans were not happy.
They
with
were
you.
Not
that's
happy.
That's no joke, by the way. That's not a a show thing. They wrote in yesterday. Warren,
I know Warren. Warren got his panties in a bunch.
Very upset.
He needs to relax.
And Eric says he has nothing to apologize.
I won't apologize
because
for
of the reason why he was incommunicado while he was there.
Very legitimate excuse.
Which time was he incommunicado for a reason?
All weekend.
All weekend, mostly.
Yeah. Now I found out a little bit more about this woman, and I'm thoroughly impressed.
Thank you, Fred.
Why is that?
As you look down your invisible glasses
well,
at me.
Well, I mean, the description, Eric, now we didn't get into like her physical description, but her background is very impressive. Father's a UN ambassador.
He's a diplomat.
A diplomat.
Yeah.
So from Denmark.
Yeah.
And so that's impressive.
Yes, it is.
She travels around the world.
She was quite impressive, yeah.
Does she travel around the world?
Yeah.
Does she ever get to the States?
She actually went to college in the States.
Where?
In Providence, believe it or not.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Unbelievable story.
This could be destiny. This could be destiny.
Let's not jinx anything here.
Okay. All right. Do you have her on your screensaver yet?
No.
Okay. All right, well, you know, as much as Eric wants to delve into his weekend.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, we'll talk about that because I'm sure everybody's interested.
Not sure I'm interested in talking about it. But
45-7, as we know, the Patriots. And you know what? The biggest thing, as far as I can see from NFL.com and the shows and everything that I've looked at, the biggest story coming out of week 8 in the NFL is Gronk's Toy Soldier March.
It was, well, first of all, it was his best spike ever.
It was legitimately one of the top 3 touchdown celebrations I've ever seen.
It's all anyone's
It goes
talking
up there
about.
With like Billy White Shoes Johnson in the mid 70s.
Right. It was awesome.
It was that good.
And not only the pre-spike dance.
The spike itself.
The spike itself was the best spike he's ever had. Yeah. I mean, the ball hit the sweet spot on the ground and it must have gone up at least 15 feet. It was
right.
Phenomenal.
Right. And I think why people like it so much, it just seems so organic. You know, it's just natural. He probably
even though he, you know, oh, even though Chandler Jones gave him the idea. Beforehand.
Yeah, I didn't look at it that way at all. I look at it the opposite way.
Yeah, it was scripted.
They were in London, but, and he did something
maybe
that was
organic,
germane to the situation.
Organic isn't the right word. Just he loves it. He has so much fun. You know, we know. Well, you can tell when a player loves what he's doing and is having fun. And with Gronk, it's just so obvious that he's just out there having fun. He just loves playing sports.
Yes.
You know, he would probably have the same amount of fun playing horse, basketball.
He probably does.
You know,
yeah.
He just loves competing and being with guys and having fun. And I think we like that as fans. That's what we want to see more of. We want to see guys. I mean, how often do we see Gronk, like, getting in somebody's face and trash talking? Hardly ever, right?
No, I don't see that a lot.
But he has fun. You know, and I think we want to see more of that as fans because we wish we were out there. You know, and, you know, we want these guys to appreciate what they're doing and have fun with it.
Real quick, a little semi-breaking news. Tom Brady has won his 22nd AFC Player of the Week award.
Great.
He was nominated this week.
AFC Player of the Week. That's awesome.
Offensive Player of the Week, yep.
Yeah, he's really...
ties him with Peyton Manning for most
he's
ever.
He's on the downside of his career. There's no doubt about that. Just, you know.
You guys arguing that yesterday?
A little bit.
No. No one was arguing.
Paul feels that
how a 36-year-old quarterback isn't on the downside of his career. No one will ever convince
Paul
me of that.
Paul feels that no one is saying that, and I
no one is saying he's done. You said yesterday that people are saying he's done.
I think,
as usual, you had an argument yesterday about one thing, and now you have something totally different to say today.
I think people have been.
No one has said he's done.
Demeaning
no one.
Him
not one person.
And,
zero.
And telling
none,
us
nada.
That
zip.
Patriots
zilch.
Need to
nothing.
Think about right now. Getting a new quarterback and he can't win the big games and he's got doesn't have it anymore and that whole thing.
No one said he's done.
I've been hearing it
a
lot.
You said that yesterday people were saying he's done. No one said that.
Done.
None.
Done encapsulates
no one. Zero.
All those things. You know, so.
No, it doesn't. Done means okay. He can't play anymore.
Okay, what do you.
Done means he can't play anymore. Have, like Kevin Youkilis
okay,
is done.
Okay.
He can't play
all
anymore.
Right. Okay, so do you believe that detractors have been saying things about him lately?
That there have been more people saying things that he hasn't done well lately than in the past? Yes, there have been. No one said he's done. That's what you said yesterday.
All right. Okay.
There's a big difference. How you cannot think he's on the downside of his career, I don't understand that.
You think
he's still ascending.
I think he's a better quarterback.
You think he's getting better. He's better today than he was in 07.
I think he's
That's insane.
I think he's a better quarterback now than he was in 04.
I don't, but even if you said that,
he's
is he better
smarter,
than he was
he's
in 07?
He's a smarter quarterback than he was in 04.
That's part of
he's
it.
He's more experienced, so
that's
he's
part of it.
But
he's not physically.
The only thing that he can't do as well is probably, you know, run around. And he didn't.
And
do
he never
that
really
that
did
well.
That.
Right.
He never really
exactly.
did that. Very
he's
well.
Not as.
That was never part of his game. His arm is as strong. He's smarter.
Why are we even wasting time talking about what Tom Brady can't do?
Well, because a lot of people are.
No, they're not.
A lot of people are
it's
a, talking about.
It's the
about...
ultimate straw man argument that you're making. You're Michael Felger right now. You're saying that something is happening when it's not, so you can come out strong and say something on the other side.
Listeners, back me up.
Everybody can find somebody. This is like Pedro Martinez at the height of his Red Sox career would hear the one person in the wilderness saying he can't get through 7 innings. He's just a little guy. And that would spur him on to greater things. Everybody was fully in agreement that Pedro Martinez was the greatest right-handed pitcher in the history of baseball for that period of time. Yet Pedro Martinez heard the one guy telling him he couldn't do something. That's what you're doing right now. Somehow, somewhere, you found a guy that said that Tom Brady can't play anymore. And that's what you're basing your whole argument on.
I'm hearing.
No one is saying that.
I'm
Fred.
Hearing
Nobody.
Quite a few people just saying that he just doesn't have it anymore. He's
What's
not-
it?
You know,
what
the,
is it?
All the things
Talent?
I just mentioned. All the
Talent?
Things I just mentioned.
A lot of the things you mentioned, he doesn't do as well anymore.
Okay.
That's not the same as saying he's done.
All right. Well.
He's not as good a player as he was 3 or 4 years ago, Fred. I'm sorry. He's not.
I think he is.
Well, that's fine, but it's not a criticism of
And I think the
him.
Numbers back me up.
Why, his numbers aren't as good as they were 3 or 4 years ago. So the numbers don't back you up.
I think
he's got 16 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Not 50. There's a difference.
He's got over a, well, the season's not done yet, but.
All right, so let's give him 32.
Okay, so.
Let's double it.
Okay, so if Gronk doesn't have the same numbers he had in his record breaking, he's not as good as that year. Paul, you know what I'm talking about.
He has
about.
Better numbers than he had in his record breaking
right.
year.
But, oh, and so every year you have to break a record in order to be better?
But I would argue that he has not been as good this year as he was last year, Gronkowski.
Yeah. I think.
What side is he arguing? What side is he on?
I'm just enjoying it.
And why hasn't he been as good?
I think he's been banged up.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a big reason.
Right, exactly.
What point did you just make?
You know,
with the condescending tone, what point did you just earn?
You just related. I don't think Gronkowski is as good as us, so that proves my argument
about
Brady.
No, it didn't prove anything. It had nothing to do with Brady. You're the one that brought up Gronkowski.
Look, I know.
Talk about numbers, Fred. Talk about anything you want. You said the numbers backed you up. That's what you said. The numbers don't back you up.
He's going to have, if you go by what he has now, he'll have close to, again, 5,000 yards passing. He's got over 100 rating. He's got, 16 touchdowns to what? 3 interceptions. So that ratio.
So he's not on pace to be as good as he was 5 years ago.
Yeah. How many run?
That's all my point.
How many rushing touchdowns do they have? It's not like the offense is not as good.
I don't care about the. You didn't ask me about the offense, Fred. You asked me about Tom Brady.
Paul.
He's not playing as well as he once did.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I disagree.
Fine. You can disagree, but no one's saying he's done. You're trying to make it out that because I said he's not as great as the single best season I've ever seen a quarterback have means he's done.
Strippers, back me up. Send me all the links to people who are saying he's not the Tom Brady
used to be. What I just
and
said
thanks for
is
lunch,
proof
preemptively.
Of you. You're using what I just said as proof that people are saying that. People are saying that maybe he's not as good finishing games as he was. That doesn't mean he's done. That doesn't mean he's not still one of the best. One or two quarterbacks in football.
I would agree that he's not done, and people, anyone that says he's done is absolutely stupid.
Thank you. That's the only argument that we had yesterday.
But a lot of people are saying, he's not as good as he used to be. And,
he's not.
I disagree.
Well, that's fine, but it's not a negative. He's the greatest quarterback of our generation. So when you get older, you tend to slip a little bit. He's not as accurate as he once was. He's not. He doesn't move in the pocket as well as he once did. I'm sorry. These things are kind of facts.
I think he moves just as well in the pocket.
Yeah, you can say that, but he doesn't. Right. He feels pressure in different ways than he never used to. He feels phantom pressure at times. Doesn't mean he's not great, Fred. He never did that before.
Yeah.
He never did that before.
Well,
he never fell over when Nate Solder brushed up against him in Seattle.
You're taking single incidents and saying
using that as an example of him not moving as well in the pocket as he once did.
I think if he didn't move as well in the pocket as he once did, he'd be getting hit a lot more than he has.
No, why?
Because his offensive line hasn't been as good as.
But it has been.
Past. Lately, it's getting better.
It's been outstanding.
But in the beginning of the season, it was not.
And they've also changed some of the things that they've done offensively to help that.
Well,
do you not agree with that? Did you not see the ball coming out of Brady's hands extremely quickly on Sunday?
But why did they have to do that, Paul?
Because he doesn't move as well as he once did in the pocket, and they want to protect him.
Because the offensive line was having some problems.
Well, that's your reason. My reason is because they're trying to protect their quarterback.
One argument I'll make against the moving around the pocket was I think one of the best games I've ever seen him avoid the rush was this season. Which, now, again, that's just one game, one example. But your overall point is right, Paul, I think, when you get older physically, you can't do the things you did when you were 10 years younger.
But you can't say it. You can't say it about this guy. He's Teflon. You can't say that. He's got to be special. He's 30-something, but he's getting better. Like, I don't understand why it's a negative to say the guy's on the downside of his career.
I said he's
as
good.
He's got less time left than he's already played. I don't see how that's arguable.
Of course
he does. So he's on the downside.
But he's as good as he's ever been.
It doesn't mean I want to replace him. I'm not looking to replace him.
Yeah.
He's great. And he's coming off one of his greatest games this year.
Chris with the TINs on the line. Hey, Christian, what's going on?
That's passion, my friend.
Christian.
Please.
That's passion, my friend.
Start over. You weren't.
Bring it.
You weren't potted up all the way. Can you start that over again?
Bring it, Christian. Bring it.
Let me tell you something. All right. I'm going to lay it on the line for you. Fred, you're listening to like the one idiot that called in on EEI.
Thank you.
That
straw man
trade him
straw man
some friggin' wide receiver. Was it Dwayne Bowe or something?
Yes, I heard that.
I didn't hear that.
That's
one,
the one guy. Yeah. Thank you.
I didn't hear it, so it's not the one guy.
That's the one guy that says that he's done.
Yeah, some guy called in after the Seattle game and said he's done. He can't do it anymore. this, that, and the other thing. I traded for Dwayne Bowen a second. The fact that they even let him on the air, number one, was, you know.
Well, another, yeah, that's another, ludicrous. It's ludicrous.
But it was a joke. But, Fred, if you just look at it time-wise, he is on the back end of his career.
Look, he's got, like, if we're lucky, he's got four more years left.
Yeah, if we're lucky.
Yeah.
And to say that he is a better quarterback now.
I said he's as good.
But if that, so then why would that be true then? Why would he only have 4 years left then? If he's playing as well as he ever has.
Because eventually, physically, he's going to break down.
Well, why are you making that assumption? If he's not doing it so far, why would you
make
that
assumption? Based on history of athletes in the world.
Because you know he's not playing as well.
No, I don't know that. I don't know. I think he's playing as well as he's ever played.
I'm enjoying this, Christian.
I really
Eric,
do.
How's it going?
I'm doing well, my friend.
I honestly do. I
5-3 records is as well as he's ever played.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Appreciate it.
He hasn't been a part of that?
Okay. Well, so, you know, it's... He
hasn't been a part of the losses? He hasn't struggled in the fourth quarter of the losses?
Okay. So you know... All
so he's not playing as well as he ever has. That's all I'm saying.
I think he has.
All I'm saying is there aren't three examples out of eight games where he wasn't at his best when the game was
right,
on the line.
And it has nothing to do. It's not a team sport anymore.
Oh no! But when he wins, it's not a team sport.
Who
you tell
says
me
that?
About you.
Okay. No, don't put words in my mouth, please.
It's just amazing to me that you can look at him play in past years and think this is the same.
I think he's as good. I think in areas where maybe he's a little bit more deficient, he's made up in other areas. I think he's smarter than he's ever been.
That's true. That's no doubt.
Absolutely. And I think you use that to make up for other things that may be on a decline. And
possibly.
When you add them
yes.
all up, he's as good as he's ever been. As good.
Then why would you want to get rid of him in 4 years?
I didn't say that. I said
yeah, you did.
I said.
I'm only using what you said.
He'll most likely in 4 years, based on human beings in the history of sport,
well, why is
he'll probably break down.
But why to this point has he not been a human being then? He's defying human being
What do you mean
evolution.
He's defying?
Why, if he's as good as he was when 10 years ago, then why would you assume that he won't be as good as he was?
Well, I think he's better than he was 10 years ago.
I just don't understand you at all. How you can say this is better. I mean, a lot of people think that when the offense sort of, you know, evolved into this Brady chucking it all over the place, it's flawed. But Fred thinks it's better than when they won titles. You think in 03 and 04 he was just along for the ride?
No, but I think as a quarterback, as his position goes, he's just playing it as well as he's ever played
it. I think that's insane, but okay.
Okay.
We can move on.
Fine. What else you got, Christian? Or what
well,
do you have?
It was a great win on Sunday, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on so far who your number one stud is this point in the year, and who your number one dud is. My number one stud is Chandler Jones.
Yep, I'm
and
with you.
And my number one dud is Patrick Chung. Even though he's been injured, he's still a dud because he wasn't.
Well, injured is probably part of the dud factor, right?
Yeah, because he is the
can't do it.
Of that.
Is this defense? So, you said?
No, I actually just kept him to defense. But you can.
I would go Welker then as my best player. Yeah. Chung's a good one for the dud.
Chung is a good. You know who would be a good. I mean, I like Chandler Jones. That would probably be my pick because he's surpassed my expectations. But you could say Ridley. Who already has, 500-yard games?
Absolutely.
And he's adding a dimension to the offense?
Yeah,
I mean, that's...
yeah the anybody in the secondary would be a good pick for the dud. But I think Chung's a good... I think he might... Either Chung or McCourty, one of the two.
Oh, anybody except maybe Alphonso Dennard.
Yeah, he hasn't played enough, though.
No, but I mean, I think you got to cut him a little slack there. He's just now starting to get playing time after coming back from the injury and is in the starting lineup, at least. I mean, that's...
Yep.
For a seventh-round pick, I know he was more than...
Mm-hmm.
Should
no,
have been,
I,
but
I, you know. I've been a big I've been big on the Dennard bandwagon since I first saw him play. When he came back from the hamstring, which was I think the Denver game. I think he got some playing time. His first week kind of got.
I think
to see
so, yeah.
And
that's
Kevin,
right.
That was a great open. And Jeff in Vegas, don't wait up for your mother.
Wow. Wow.
That's going to put an end to the Fred Paul festivities. That was awesome.
Trick or treat on Halloween. Are you suggesting she's turning tricks?
Oh. All right. Little.
Oh, is he gone?
Little,
you cut him off?
He's gone.
Oh, okay.
Little listener, when you make a line
like
that,
okay.
You
no,
gotta
okay,
leave
yeah,
the
you're right. You're
that's
right.
It.
That's
it.
True.
I'll be
that's
here
true.
All night.
Right.
Yeah.
All's
yeah.
the week.
Right. Let's see. Jordan's in Clearwater, Florida. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it. First-time subscriber, first-time caller.
Thank
long-time
you.
Long-time Patriots
wow,
fan.
Where you
thank
been?
You.
Where you been, man?
Hey, I'm just jumping on board. Long-time, lifetime Patriots fan, but I finally got the subscription this year. I'm loving every minute of it.
So from New England originally?
Yeah, I'm from down in the vineyard.
All right.
Well, hoi polloi.
So, living the dream down here in Florida for the past few years, but still make it home when I can. So, anyway, I just wanted to jump on board with, both of you guys. I kind of see both sides of the argument with, you know, Tom Brady, because I do understand what Fred said. I did hear a lot of people, and I can't be specific. I'd heard the guy on WEEI, the Bo trade, and that idiot was.
So who is this guy in EEI, by the way?
It's a caller.
Who knows? He didn't laugh.
But everyone seems to have heard him.
Because it was so outrageous.
It was. It really was. And then I heard a couple other callers that were calling in saying, not necessarily that he was done, but they're, you know, he was on the back end of his career and this and that. And I can see both sides of the argument. I mean, from a time standpoint, obviously, you know, Brady's got, you know, he's not going to be in the league as long as he's already been in the league. So you can say, okay, he's on the back side of his career. But as far as his performance and his skill set and ability still, I have to agree with Fred. I think he's playing as good as he has ever played. Wow. And
I think you got to just forget about each previous season, because I don't think he's been anywhere near as good as he was last year.
Well, I think I see your point too, Paul, when you look at it, because, you know, you say the numbers this and
I'm not talking about the numbers. His numbers might be better for all I know. I don't look at the numbers. I look at the passes, the games, the situations. I never remember him 3 times in 5 weeks not performing when the game was on the line.
Well,
that's so out of the character for Tom Brady.
There's no doubt about that. But I still would have to say, just in my opinion, I still think, you know, even if we do get another 4 years out of him, I think we're going to see him play at a high level. I honestly,
I have no doubt about that. I didn't say he wasn't playing at a high level.
And me too is, you know, I kind of picture Brady finishing his career in New England. I mean, at least we all hope so. And I kind of hope that he can do it the way every good quarterback has probably wanted to do it, but couldn't
right.
because of the business aspect of it. But, you know, I hope he goes out on a high note, too. I really do.
Yeah. So do I. I mean, there will be a year, and it could
thanks,
be
Jordan.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jordan.
I mean, it could be next year. There will be a year when we're like, oh, yeah. But I don't think it's happened yet.
Oh, I don't think it's happened yet either.
You know?
Neither does anybody else.
The fact that he's slipped and he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Absolutely.
Is not only a compliment to him, but it's also an indictment on the rest of the
he's two
quarterbacks
at worst, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think you look at, you know, the whole Brady Manning thing. I think it's showing you how good they are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Look at Manning missed the whole year and he's you
it's
know,
incredible.
He's lighting it up.
And it's unbelievable how well he's played.
Yeah.
Same
for
with
the most
Brady.
Part. Yeah.
For the most, what do you mean for the most part?
Well, there was that Atlanta game when he was terrible.
It was one quarter for the whole year.
Yeah. No, he's back at the top of the rankings and everything. He's just incredible, you know? And, you know, you could argue whether or not the team around him's that good, but it's not that great.
It's not. And he had no familiarity with it.
Right. And those receivers aren't that great. You know, he's got the kid, the guy he had from the Colts back
Stokely.
With him, Tammy.
And Tammy.
You know,
Stokely, too.
Stokely. But, you know, Demaryius is. He's
stiff.
Okay, you know.
Stiff.
But he's not doing it with great players.
No, and, you know, and they're not lighting it up either like the Patriots are. You know, they're not scoring, you know, 30-plus points every week, but they've been pretty good.
Oh, yeah. My hatred of Peyton Manning went away a long time ago.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, I still want to beat. I still want to beat his ass.
It was a better world when I had that.
Well, you want to do that to anybody that comes in,
and he still has a stupid face.
Don't you think?
I respect the hell out of him,
Freddie. We need to transfer that because it's a better world with hatred. I need to find someone to replace that.
Well, I have plenty of them. Yeah, most of them are on the Jets, but you know,
see, they're so bad. Like Sanchez stinks so bad.
I know.
Like it's not.
I almost feel
like
bad
Manning.
For him.
Manning, like in the early part of the 2000s, he was great. But you could hate him,
right?
Because he was good enough to.
What
hate
do you what do you make of these rumors that the Jaguars are interested in trading for him?
Well, they've been, you know, poo pooed.
They only have till tomorrow.
I guess Tebow was just in town, and that's what sparked it. He was just in town visiting relatives or something like that.
They have a bye week this week.
I'm not sure
who
the Jets.
I believe they do.
Yeah. So and that's what started. Somebody saw him in Jacksonville, and it started the whole thing. It makes sense. I mean. If not now, you can't do it. The trade deadline's coming out. It's proven that he's really not going to help him that much, right? And so
I'm going to say something that you're going to be surprised at.
All right. If you can get some value at him, you know, there's no other team that probably would give you more than Jacksonville. So if they are talking to a team, it makes sense that they are talking to Jaguars, but we'll see. I don't believe them necessarily when they say we haven't talked because, you know, teams lie all the time about this stuff.
You can't let that out there on the record. I agree with you. I think that they need to use him a little bit, the Jets.
I agree, Paul.
I don't think he can play quarterback. You know that. But I don't understand why. Like, even against the Patriots.
Oh, when they were in the goal line?
They took him
out of the game?
They had a third and two.
Isn't that what he's there for?
They had a third and two from the three-yard line that they didn't put him in the game. And I don't understand that.
Right.
Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't sit there and say,
this is what you got him for.
He's going to get me a first down. Like, the first possession of the game when the Jets went down the field, he got a first down inside the five, and then he got to the one, he got the first down, and they ran a conventional play with Sean Green for a touchdown. I thought they should have done the same thing in that possession. I want to say it was early in the second half, and they ended up having to settle for a field goal because they threw a quick slant, and Sanchez threw a ball off of Chaz Schilling's face mask because that guy can't catch.
I had the same feeling as you, Paul.
I think they need to use him a little
bit. Yeah, I think it makes the defense think he can do run or pass, so it gives you a couple options, you know, on a short
And I hear these people
yardage.
Say, well, it gets the offense out of a rhythm. Like, when is that offense, other than against the Patriots, when was that offense in a rhythm all year?
Did you get a cold too, Eric?
Well, I was sneezing just now. I know you're sounding under the weather.
That's why he's cranky.
Feeling a little weak.
I'm not cranky.
Fred's a little cranky.
Bob writes in, Tom Brady's advantage over a lot of quarterbacks is that he was never mobile to begin with. Thus, he does not have to make a major adjustment for losing.
See, I disagree with that. I think he was extremely mobile.
He is just as accurate as he has always been, and I think an argument can be made he is more accurate than he was in his first few years in the league. And as long as he has a great offensive line, Brady can play at a high level till at least 40. Although, remember, training and nutrition is more advanced in the 21st century than it was in the days of Joe Montana. And the rules are better for quarterbacks. Brady knows how to take a hit up high, and the rules now protect his knees. Finally, remember how great Brett Favre was in taking the Vikings to the NFC Championship game. Bottom line, I agree with Fred. Brady is as good as he's ever been, and he could even be better if the Patriots' running game can be sustained.
See, but that's an example, the Brett Favre thing. He had a great year that year. Statistically, he was off the charts. Does anybody really think that he played better that year than he did when he won three MVPs in a row?
And I'll tell you,
because it wasn't even close.
I'll back that up, Paul. When Elway's last 2 years as
Not
a Broncos fan,
close.
He wasn't close to where he was. They won because, yes, they did incorporate
they had a better
a running
team
game,
around him.
But
right.
my eyes and told not, me that Elway wasn't as good
and
as
And I'm
he
not
used
saying
to
that Brady can't continue to play at a high level, can't continue to win a lot of games, and can't continue to win Super Bowls. I think he can. Yeah. I think he can. I just don't think he's played as well as he did at the peak of his career. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I guess we're kind of saying the same thing.
No, but I but
it all comes back to
I'll stand firm. I do believe he's as playing as in terms of him playing the position. This is the peak of his career. He's just, and he's maintained that.
But
level
you will admit he's
for
playing.
A long time.
You will admit he's playing differently than he did 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Since when?
10 years
what
ago,
do we
I
argue?
Think he's better.
Yeah, see, I don't. I think
5 years ago.
He had to make tougher
differently
throws.
Differently than five years ago.
I think the throws he makes now, it's all, like, the way the game is set up, it's so much easier. I think
Maybe.
He's not even close.
Maybe.
I really don't even think it's close.
Colin in Belgium says, I had an email all written saying we should hire Andy Hart as GM and replace Bill, but after Bill's guy bitch-slapped Andy's guy all day long in London, I guess we can give Bill one or two more years. Yeah, that was a... really come to Jesus moment for Andy.
Well, Andy's all over.
Yeah,
who,
it was a come to Jesus moment for about 30 seconds where he said, yeah, no, I got to say it. You know, my
the
guy.
The Rams GM?
My guy, he fell down. Quinn, he couldn't do it. And then he spent the next 10 minutes telling you how his guy is better.
Now, how much help did Solder have?
None. Well, not much.
Not really.
I shouldn't
any.
Say none.
So
you always have some.
That is
help.
Pretty impressive, I think.
They played great. The two tackles were great.
It kind of reminds me of the year that it was Vollmer's first year. The Patriots went into Indy,
and
Vollmer just stoned Freeney.
But to me, the difference that I, you know, in terms of help is the offense. It's like what I'm talking about. They spread you out. They get you in the shotgun. He gets the ball, and he throws it.
Yeah.
There's no time. There's no time to get any pressure on him.
That's true. And that's the whole
And that's the vast majority of the throws, especially throughout the first half when they were in the shotgun almost exclusively every play. It's like fish in a barrel.
And it's the same thing with Manning. I mean, year after year, people say, you got to get to Manning. But, you know.
Do it.
No one could, you know. And it wasn't because they had this amazing offensive line. It's because Manning just got rid of the ball, you know. Mark and Cheddar, hey, guys, in the Hall of Famer, quick game. If you rank the Patriots squad 1 to 53 based on current skill level, who would be ranked higher out of the pair of names I give you, and roughly where would you rank them? Okay. All right?
All right.
Welker or Wilfork? Who would be ranked higher on a 1 to 53 list?
Wilfork.
Welker.
I might say Welker.
Give me the description of what he asked for again.
Current skill level.
Yeah, Wilfork.
Okay. Hernandez or Mayo?
Hernandez.
Hernandez. Hands down.
Okay. I might have to say that too. Vollmer or Solder?
Solder.
Solder.
McCourty or Dennard?
I haven't seen enough of Dennard.
I know. That's, yeah, the, tough, to that's the tough part. I'll give it to McCourty. Yeah.
Wilson or Gregory?
Gregory.
That's a tough one, but I'll give the veteran the nod.
Jones or Ninkovich?
Jones.
Jones.
And LePan or Collins?
Flash.
LePan.
Although the Open was good today.
LePan.
The new Open.
Keep up the great work. Where's and lunch? If you need lunch, let me know.
We need lunch at some point.
Oh, someday we will. Not today. I think Strippers is stepping up to the plate.
He is. Right?
Yeah.
What's the matter, Paul? What's the matter?
I was just watching this D'Angelo Hall thing.
Yeah.
I didn't see this play at all over the course of the weekend. You guys were talking before we started the show how you missed all the highlights.
Yeah.
There was a play that happened, and I'm not even sure how it all transpired, but D'Angelo Hall was very upset, and he got up and he was arguing with a referee, one of the officials. And he took his helmet off, and it looked like the ref was going to throw the flag for taking his helmet off, but he was kind of letting him
right. have his say.
And all of a sudden, you could see it clear as day. He said, F you, and he pointed right in the guy's face, and the flag went flying. Another guy came in from the side, his flag went flying.
Well, I heard that D'Angelo Hall is blaming
he's got some sort
as
of
much
a
on the ref
meeting
as,
coming up.
Yeah,
yeah.
He says the ref had something to do with
baited
it.
Baited him. He's got some hearing coming up, I guess.
LT from Adelaide says, hello, PFW Fred, PFW Andy, PFW Paul, and Escal.
There is no PFW Andy.
There will be as soon as he figures out how to do it.
He's changing it.
To be difficult?
To be difficult, to be easier.
Yeah. No, he's trying to be difficult because I see what he's doing.
I'm Medna, so I mean,
I know.
Well,
seriously.
Well, you tweet on things of, you know, relevance, right, like George Lucas's
that was relevant.
Seventh installment.
Disney's going to ruin that franchise.
Yeah, I'm really worried about that. I just wanted to weigh in on yesterday's discussion regarding our rookie defensive phenom, Chandler Jones, and leave you with a quick game at the end. I love the pick of Jones in the draft and have grown to love it even more as the season has progressed. I agree with Andy and Paul that it seems that Jones' pressures tend to lead to sacks and that his numbers may be overinflated against his total pass rush pressure prowess. As a rookie defensive end, I think that he has surpassed all expectations. He is an every down player with run and pass rush responsibilities as compared with Bruce Irvin this year and Alden Smith last year as pass rushing specialists. I think in the long term, Jones will develop into a dominant edge player and surpass even Andy's binky, Robert Quinn. On another of Andy's binkies, the Samchise, I have a quick game for you. Considering only potential prior to their respective drafts, which first overall drafted quarterback would you select for Bill's New England Patriots if you get to have his whole career? Matthew Stafford, Sam Bradford, Cam Newton, or Andrew Luck? Oh, that's easy.
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
With Matthew Stafford a close second.
Yeah.
We have no interest in either one of the other two.
That's not even a question.
That was not necessarily a very accurate portrayal and of LT, my Chandler Jones.
He says, Escal, why do you have to be so different? His question to you is.
Why should I be a conformist?
I don't think Chandler Jones' numbers
my question
are
to
inflated.
You, LT.
Freddie?
Yes?
I don't think Chandler Jones' numbers are inflated.
No, I don't either.
I just think that he hasn't had I haven't noticed a ton of plays where he hasn't gotten there. Let's put it that way. You know, like he's forced the ball out really quick and didn't get credit for anything. I think that generally when he beats his man, he gets there and gets a sack. I don't think that he's overinflated. Now, the other part that I disagree with is guys like Alden Smith and Bruce Irvin, they're not. I don't think they should be penalized for being pass rush specialists. That means they have far fewer opportunities to get a sack because they're not on the field as many plays. Chandler Jones can get a sack on any play because he plays a vast majority of the defensive snaps.
Right.
You know, when the other guys are only coming in obvious passing situations, well, the other team knows that too.
Right.
And they put more attention to him. You know, I think that's a slippery slope to go. Alden Smith, by the way, is a dominant force. He's a guy that I absolutely loved. He went way before the Patriots could get him. I think he went like 7 or 8.
Yeah, overall. He went pretty high.
I was hoping that he would be available in the mid-teens, and he didn't even get close to that.
Matt says on Gronk's second TD dance that it looked like he was doing the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, we have to ask. Apparently that was a Deion Branch suggestion, so we have to ask him what the deal was.
Branch washed his hands of all of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because he didn't have anything to do with any of it.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
It would be interesting. I told you what Gronk said to me. We were going from the luggage to the bus at Logan.
Yeah.
And I said to Gronk, hey, Gronk, big week for you. You made the cover of PFW. And he goes, what's that? He doesn't even know. I go, the team newspaper. Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So thanks, Gronk.
Let's see. Cavern in Gainesville, good to be listening live again today. I was thinking about the problems on defense, as many of the listeners have, and I came to one conclusion that I'd like your opinions on. We spent significant money at each level or position on the team with the exception of defensive secondary. What are your thoughts on this? Any reason why you think Belichick won't spend money on a big-time free agent for the secondary or invest in keeping the only elite corner we've had since Ty Law, which is Asante Samuel? Just something to think about during the bye week. Thanks for your work.
Yeah, I've often wondered that too. It doesn't make any sense to me.
The argument against it, you can't do everything. They made their choices on where they're going to spend the money. You can't do it all.
Yeah, I guess their thinking was if you have a good front, that helps the secondary. And I can kind of buy that argument. But still, if you have a guy already there, in Samuel.
If you equate drafting to money, I mean, they invested a first-round pick in McCourty, you know, albeit it was in the lower half of the first round. You know, so it didn't go, you know, they it's not like they haven't tried to make it better. Lee Bodden, he wasn't that high a free agent. What was he, like $2-3 million when he first came in?
No, he wasn't much bigger.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, I mean, why haven't they got – who? I mean, there's only been a few. There was Asamoah. You know, right. He was available for a while.
The Samuel one is the one that people talk
they
about.
They let him go.
You had
let
a guy that you knew. You had him. You had one.
Yeah.
You had a guy that you knew could succeed in your system, and you didn't have to worry about whether or not he could fit in, and you chose to let him go.
Right.
That's the one that I think people
that
get
they
frustrated
let him
with.
Go. And but
and then if you add a guy, like if McCourty, you draft him and he becomes your right corner instead of your left, and there's not as much expectation
pressure
on him
yeah.
or whatever, or Bodden had worked out, then you have two cornerstones there, and then your secondary's not so bad.
But I think the question then is, since, you know, okay, so whether you not or not you believe that letting Samuel go was the mistake, who should they have gotten since then? Like, who's the big free agent they should have signed since he left?
Well, I would have been interested in
Jonathan Joseph. Yeah.
Or Dante Robinson, and, you know, guys like that. I mean, I don't know which one specifically, because I'm not – I'm not Andy Hart. I'm not an NFL expert on all things football. But there have been guys that I don't think necessarily would have killed you salary-wise that you could have brought in. You know, even like – I mean, I wouldn't have wanted Cortland Finnegan, but that's a guy, you know, I think they should have sniffed around on. And, you know, there's been other guys, too, that were available.
I stand corrected on Eric's LinkedIn. While his description is he's an artist at Scalavino Fine Art, later on he does say that his current position is New England Patriots. So,
wow. Yeah. All right. That's mighty big of you.
Nothing about Patriots Football Weekly, huh? Which deviously creepy fan sent that to you?
Brent. But I'm surprised that your headline didn't say, you know, writer for New England Patriots.
So no Patriots Football Weekly, though.
No.
It says for New England Patriots.
Right.
I don't think Patriots Football Weekly is a category.
Face it, you hate us.
Interesting. You go with the thing that might be deemed, you know, from the outside to be a little bit more prestigious. Would you not admit, Fred?
Right.
You know, if you just say, I write for Patriots Football Weekly, or do you say I work for the Patriots? And if you're looking to impress on them.
I work for the Patriots.
Right, yeah. So not surprising that you would choose that road. I just can't believe that you came back from Europe. You know, we're you know, 40 minutes into the show. I still can't believe that. I never thought I'd see you again. I got to be honest with you.
Well, the question is, when are you going back?
Not soon enough.
Really?
I like it there.
Knowing how much you hate America, I can't believe
you're
back.
Would you shut up with that, Paul? Seriously.
It's fact, not opinion.
Oh, it's fact. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm the only one in the show who ever thanks our own military for their service, but yet I hate the country.
That's a sign that you love the
yes.
country?
Yes.
Why?
Because they represent the country.
Well, you like the military because it makes it safer for you to travel to other countries and get away from here.
Correct, Fred. Very.
They don't
very
come
well
with me when I travel.
No, but they make
but they make things safe.
They make things safe for you to get out of here.
They also protect our own country here.
True, true.
I'm an American who's a citizen of the world.
Ah, a bon vivant.
He sleeps exactly. under the blanket of protection that they provide every night.
You're damn right.
But you wouldn't, I mean, if you could move into the embassy in somewhere, you would do that, right?
No, my home will, my roots, my home base will always be in New England. Always.
Always.
I love it here. I absolutely love, I love the
this
fact that
love.
I was born here.
If this is love, can you imagine what hate must be?
Jeez, yeah.
What are you talking about?
You do nothing but complain. And you say
about
how much
what?
Better everything is in Europe.
When do I do that?
Oh.
Now often. You're putting words in my mouth.
Often.
Now you're putting words in my mouth. We're going to get into a Fred-like argument here.
Okay.
Once a show, I'm
not stopping.
Once a show, you have to make Kevin laugh.
I was waiting for you.
So loud on the
other
side.
I was waiting for Andy to chime in. That's not the only thing you put in your mouth. But he's not here. Kind of
where's lunch, by the way, speaking of putting things
that
in your
too.
Mouth?
I'm hungry.
Starving.
Yeah, speaking of stuff that we can put on our mouth.
Let's take the Ace Ticket Hotline up to Toronto. Hamza's on the line. Hey, Hamza.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Is this the first time you've ever called?
It is. A long-time emailer, first
yeah.
caller.
Great.
Good job, Freddie.
How are you guys doing after the storm?
We're doing fine.
Yeah.
It was,
we're getting by.
Remarkably smooth flight getting home, and I think, you know, we beat it by an hour or two, so we got right in
we
there.
We were very, very fortunate, I think, the three of us in this room, that we
yeah,
escaped any major
of
damage.
Yeah, here's how much of a Hoosier fan I am. I was checking whether or not the Patriots landed safely before the storm happened.
Oh, you're not the only one. We had a lot of people contact us.
Yeah.
Freddie was...
So where's Big Head today?
He's at home with a sick kid.
So no ragging on Eric today.
Right. Well, we did a little.
We got that for tomorrow.
Yeah, I've been hearing Paul's quoting a few good men.
What did he say? Yeah.
Paul's quoting a few good men.
He sleeps under the blanket of protection that I provide, and then questions the manner in which I provide it. Really, I'd just rather have you say thank you and be on with it.
I'm going
either
back
way,
to...
I don't give a damn what you think you're entitled to.
I'm going back to my base.
You're not going anywhere, Colonel. MPs guard the Colonel.
We're going to have a reenactment in the studio.
I guess so.
Look, I called...
What kind of outfit are you running here?
My boy, okay? Not Eric.
Oh, great, thanks. Brady. All right, thanks for calling, Hamza.
No, no, you're okay too, Eric. Fred, I kind of agree. I kind of disagree with both of you, because Paul keeps saying that Brady is not quite as good as he was during the championship years, and Fred says that Brady's as good as he's ever been. I think you're both. I disagree with both of you. I mean, there were moments during that 2007 season, and to a lesser extent during the 2010 season, where they took the field, and I just felt like there was nothing schematically that the defense could do. It was just automatic. Now, you know, they take the field and there's an element of uncertainty. If it's, you know, anything could happen. You could miss a throw. You know, they could go down the field and it could be overthrown. He's still great, and I think he's still better than the championship years. But you don't get that feeling that the defense has to get, an incredibly lucky break just to force a punt. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I do, and that's a good point. That's a good point because he operates under a much higher level of pressure to succeed now than he did in 03 and 04.
That's a good point.
Yep.
That's a point for Freddie.
Good point. Yep.
But, you know, whenever you criticize Brady, it always comes off as, we want to get rid of him or we want to, you know, he's not quite as good as Aaron Rodgers. But to me, I kind of respect that older player still, you know, putting in everything he's got, like Ray Lewis or Ed Reed, a guy who isn't quite, maybe 90% of what he used to be, or maybe even less, but he's still going at it.
Sure.
You know,
and
like
and
old
even
veteran.
If he is 90% of what he used to be, he's still better than just about everybody else, because that's how much, that's how good he is. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know why we always have to hold all these players up to a standard that they once set, which it's virtually impossible for them to continue to set.
Oh, because I think a lot of times fans don't look at them as people, as human beings. They look at them as commodities or some abstract
fantasy football
thing that they
player.
See on their screen.
See, but I totally agree with you on that, Hamza, and that's kind of what I was getting at is people saying that he's not quite as good as he may have been at his peak shouldn't be something that's deemed to be so negative, and yet it was. It was something that obviously got under Fred's skin.
But the people that say that I heard, and it wasn't the guy in EI, because I didn't
hear the downside.
Other people, they say it derisively. Derisively.
But he's on the downside. Like, I don't really understand how that's so controversial. Look, I don't really think of it that way.
He's on the downside of his career because, yes.
Because he's not as good as he once was.
No, and see, that's where I disagree. He's got less years left than he has played. There's no doubt about it. But I think, you know, playing the position, he's as good as he's ever been.
Yeah, well, I don't agree.
He's better in certain aspects and not as good and deficient in others.
What's that?
I think the team has acknowledged that a little bit with this balancing. It's kind of what they did with Terrell Davis and John Elway, isn't it?
Well, it is, but in that case, I readily say that Elway wasn't as good those championship years as he was before.
Well, but hold on, Hamza, because if the Broncos were able to acquire a running back of Terrell Davis's stature when Elway was losing those Super Bowls to the, you know, getting blown out, they would have done so.
Right.
They just didn't have anybody. It's not like they did it just because he was getting older.
And it's not that Terrell Davis was a 6th-round pick, I believe.
He was.
You know, so they, you know, you want to say they got lucky with him, but I think that teams, when they have a guy like Tom Brady or John Elway or Peyton Manning, general managers tend to say, well, you know what, let's just give him tools. And they don't think about the running game as much because they got this quarterback that they're putting so much money into that, you know, they feel like if we don't use him and we have a balanced attack, then, you know, we're wasting all
this
money.
I think that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
You should improve your team any and all ways possible.
Yeah.
But my point is, if the Patriots had Corey Dillon in 2007, they probably would have still thrown it all over the yard. Now they're trying to get more balance because they recognize that it's the back nine.
I'm not so sure.
Again, this goes back to the discussion we had yesterday about good coaches. If they've got good personnel, they're going to use them.
Mm.
They're not going to, like, stick to a philosophy just for the sake of it. If you got Corey Dillon, you use Corey Dillon.
For instance, if they had Corey Dillon in 2007, they don't lose to the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because when they're getting pressure on Brady, they're running the ball, and Corey Dillon is going.
They may not put up the crazy numbers that they
do. Possibly.
Right.
Possibly.
But they might win the championship.
Which is more important.
I agree with you that they might not have put up the crazy numbers, but I don't agree with that. That passing game was the reason why they went to the Super Bowl. And if you take that passing game away, they don't go to the Super Bowl.
Well, could they have not gone to the Super Bowl another way?
I think that's why they went to the Super Bowl. I agree with what Hamza said.
Well, it is why they went to the Super Bowl.
It was nothing schematically the other team could do.
But if you take Randy Moss.
And by the way, they moved away from Corey Dillon in 06, and they gave the reins to their first-round draft pick, Lawrence Maroney.
Who stunk.
Not in 07 he didn't, my friend. Go back and look.
What, he have 1,100 yards?
He didn't have 1,000 yards, but they didn't have to.
Yeah.
He could have done what Ridley's doing this year if they let him, but they didn't because they threw the ball. And that's exactly the point that Hamza's trying to make. They had a running back who they were extremely high on at the time. He hadn't failed yet. He was a second-year first-round pick. He hadn't busted yet.
Yeah.
And down the stretch in December, he was 100 yards every game.
I agree the reason why in 07 they went as far as they did is because of the unbelievable offense they had in the passing. But I also believe that if that team with Randy Moss and Wes Welker, by the way, had Corey Dillon, they might have done things a little bit differently.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they proved it. They had a guy that they were extremely high on, every bit as high on as they were on Dillon.
Yeah.
You're looking with hindsight as to what Maroney became.
No, I know.
Maroney at the time was thought to be the heir apparent to Dillon. They thought he was every bit as good. Otherwise, they wouldn't have moved away from Dillon.
Well, I think there were other reasons they moved away from Dillon.
But they drafted him the year before because they thought he was better, not because they knew that Dillon was going to be a problem.
What else, Hamza?
Not much. Just you guys have a lot of caller on caller hate.
That's good.
So yeah. I wanted to just kind of turn the tables and give a little caller and caller love. There's a few callers you guys have who were really entertaining. Olivier, I love that accent. I don't know where he's from.
Yeah. Belgium.
Belgium.
Is it Belgium? Yeah. James, of course. Who's that guy who calls Welker Welcher? Cracks me up.
That's Eldridge.
That's Eldridge from South Carolina.
Holdridge. He's on hold right
from
now.
From North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah, he cracks
and I
me
might
up
be the world's only Jeff in Vegas fan. Okay. Every time he says, hey, guys, how are you?
I'll get you every time, huh?
Don't encourage him, please.
Yeah, don't, please.
All right. Thanks,
all right,
Hamza.
Guys, take care.
All right.
Thanks for the call. First-timer.
Speaking of Eldridge, guess who's on the phone?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Loving your show as usual, but I agree and I disagree.
Okay.
One thing, I think Brady is the best quarterback they've ever been. And back in those Super Bowl years, yes, but you also got to remember the receivers he had, you know, that he went to Super Bowl with wasn't world class, but they put some moves and they put some speed on those corners. They weren't as big and athletic as they are now. 2007, I kind of agree with Paul. If we had Dillon, we won that damn Super Bowl.
Now you agree with Fred then?
Yeah.
We'll won that Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't
because,
agree.
Because, like I said, when they were trying to put that pressure on Moss and then Welcher, and you get to Dillon.
You're doing it on purpose, aren't you?
They completely shut down the run.
You're really doing it on purpose now to aggravate me, aren't you, Eldridge?
No, I'm doing. I'm just stating facts.
No. The Welker thing. It's Welker. Kerr. There's no CH. There you go.
Well, anyway, you know, I thought we'd been better. And then again, we had a defense in 03 and 04 that wouldn't let nobody come back.
Right.
Cobb gave up the Super Bowl. It wasn't Brady. It wasn't Moss. Because Moss put us ahead. It was Hobbs and the defense. Just like it was last year.
I agree.
Brady came back, put us up. I know they left 2 minutes with Eli. But again, just about the same identical play.
Yep.
Defense let down again.
Yep.
Now, my other gripe is Welker, as you want me to say correct word.
Right. Yes.
Well, it is his name.
It is his name, and it is correct.
Well, he's number two in receiving yards. I know, even though I like size and speed, but he's producing.
Yep.
Way better than Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah, and, but he's also targeted way more often than Brandon Lloyd.
I wonder why. Because every time I'm seeing
because Tom Welker, Brady knows Wes Welker.
He's looking for him. He's breaking loose. Every time I see Lloyd, even when Brady threw a perfect pass over the defender in his chest, he's dropping.
I agree with you, but he's your fourth option.
Brady's
so it's not.
Option.
I mean, Brady's fourth option is Brandon Lloyd in the passing game when everybody's healthy.
Yeah, it might be his fourth option.
Yeah, Gronk, Welker, Hernandez.
Absolutely, whatever order you want to put them. Those three guys are going to be. Those three guys are going to be accentuated before Lloyd.
You're not going to tell me that they got some plays target for him, and majority of the time he's not coming up with the catches.
See, I disagree with that. I think that Lloyd has been average at best, but he's got 37 catches. I'm sorry.
And how many
I don't know.
At this rate, he's going to have about 800-900 yards when the season ends. At this rate.
Okay. Welker got 622, number two in the NFL in passing yards, receiving yards.
Yeah, and he's accentuated in the offense after the first 2 weeks when they decided he was a backup.
Yeah, but like I said, they ought to pay the man anyway. and I still say, the way Richie's running, I love it.
Don't welch on Welcher.
Somehow on the outside, just get a defense, we'll win another Super Bowl.
Okay,
I agree.
Until they get that fixed, I don't know, and that defense.
Yep.
I don't know.
All right, Eldridge, you've been consistent. You've been very consistent over the years. Thanks for the call.
Good man, Eldridge.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Neil in Montreal. Hey, Neil.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm not too bad. You know, I've been listening, I guess, for a long time to, you know, some of the comments with respect to Eric and, you know, how Eric feels more of an international citizen and all that.
Yep.
And all I'm thinking is, you know, Eric, Montreal is 5 hours away by car. You should live here.
It's a great place.
You know, I would like to go to Montreal at some point.
You've never been there?
I've never been, no.
Oh, you'd love it.
Yeah.
It's got a very international flavor.
Oh, of course, it's a French city. Yeah, they speak French there.
It's got some of the best restaurants in the world. And it's now actually exceeded Boston in the percentage of university students per capita because of all the universities we have here. So if what the guys there are saying that you have this preference for young women,
yes,
this is the place. And you speak French, right? Get right, Eric?
Oui, absolument.
Okay, so if you met finding an American who can speak French, the world would be your oyster.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard great things about Montreal.
You
can go there everything.
You wouldn't even have to speak English.
You're perfect. Right.
So I'm just giving you an alternative to think.
No, I appreciate it. I've been looking into Montreal for a vacation spot.
It's a nice place.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. When's the best time to go? When's the best time to go?
Anytime between May and, I would say, October. I mean, our weather's basically the same as yours.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a wintry type city. No, I mean,
No,
it's not.
We're 300 miles from Boston. How more wintry could it be?
I don't know. When I think of Montreal, I think of
Vermont.
Yeah.
In terms of climate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say it's probably not quite as temperate as Boston because Boston is near the ocean.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But yep. The summer, I mean, we have Just for Laughs Festival, jazz festivals. The time to be here. Really is June through August. It's a real big tourist city during that time.
Well, see, I want to avoid tourists as much as possible.
Because you're not one.
Yes. No, I'm a traveler. There's a difference.
But that's when he might run into people that are from the United States.
No. There's a difference between a tourist and a traveler. A tourist doesn't know what they're doing. A traveler does.
I do understand the distinction.
There is a
distinction.
And
he wonders why we make fun of him.
Right.
I don't wonder.
Yes, June or September.
So because you read a few magazines,
no.
You know what you're doing?
Nah, it's more than that, my friend.
I always say you never know a country until you've worked in it.
Until you've worked in it?
Yeah. Until you've had a job in it. Then you get to know a country.
Don't you have to become a citizen, though, to work in certain countries?
Whatever it is, green card or whatever.
No, you don't. It's just like I could go work in the States if I got a green card. I could still be a Canadian citizen.
Sure,
yeah.
Of course.
So, I don't know what your politics are, but if they're too more left of center than right of center, you would feel very comfortable here. It's not quite as socialist as Europe is, but it's much more socialist
than the U.S.
would be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about
Massachusetts, that's a bad example.
Massachusetts
is
not a good example.
All right, Neil, that's good.
I appreciate it, Neil. Thank you.
I just had one more thing, I guess, related to the Patriots. I would ask a comment and then a question. Comment is, when I saw the game last week, you've talked a lot, and I've agreed with the fact that sometimes Brady sees pressure when it doesn't exist. The offensive line has improved an awful lot over the last few weeks. And I haven't seen that as much, and I'm hoping that we won't see the flinching going forward if the offensive line really is now what we saw on Sunday.
Yeah,
so,
see,
I'm hoping the same thing.
See, I think the coaches recognized it and they made some changes, and I think that the ball is coming out a lot faster. I think that they've done a lot of things. Maybe I'm wrong, and it was just a game plan thing for the St. Louis Rams. And it was as simple as that. We know that they change every week, and they game plan their specific opponents, and maybe this was something that was designed just specifically for St. Louis. And I'm wrong. But I think that they change. Because I thought I saw a lot of it against the Jets even, where he was kind of not really under a lot of pressure, but kind of acting like he was.
Right.
And even right down to that fourth quarter rollout where he threw the ball – basically right into Antonio Cromartie's hands for a would-be interception that he dropped. There wasn't really a lot of pressure on that play, but Brady made it look like there was a lot of pressure. And I think that last week against St. Louis, you didn't see any of that.
Yeah, exactly. And that surprises me because, as you guys have mentioned, they do have a good defensive line, St. Louis. So, I guess that left me feeling somewhat optimistic about the future.
Yep, I think you have reason to be. All right, thanks, Neil.
One quick question, and I'll just get off the phone. I hear a lot of comments about the Jets, but I'd like to know what you guys think about the Dolphins, because I guess I think that's where there may be some push against the Patriots this year. So
yeah,
I'll get off the phone and hear what you guys have to say. Thanks.
I don't necessarily think that they're going to threaten the Patriots this year, But I think that they're right now they're playing like the second best team in the AFC East. There's no doubt about it.
Oh yeah, and surprisingly too.
Yeah,
I didn't think they would be nearly as good as they have been to this point.
You know, when I said it on PFW TV, which will be on tomorrow night. But you know, when you look at that Hard Knocks and you saw Joe Philbin and the way he kind of wishy-washy coach, you thought, they're not gonna. You know, most teams reflect their coach, but they've played well. This defensive coordinator they have, he's actually a UMass grad. Did you know that? It's his first defensive coordinator job in the NFL.
Who's this?
Who? Kevin Coyle, I think. He went to UMass, and he's been in the league 12 years, but it's the first time he's ever been a defensive coordinator, and he's doing something right because, you know, they're only giving up 18 points a game.
Yeah, I know that you're going to yell at me, but I'll say it anyway. They haven't played anybody with an offense, and their points per game are down as a result. When they start playing teams like the Patriots twice in the second half, you'll see the points rise.
Yep.
And I do think that I don't think they're as bad as a lot of other people did, and I said as much heading into the season. I don't understand why Joe Philbin talking to Chad Johnson without just saying, you're out of here, made him a weak head coach. I know a lot of people said that off the Hard Knocks. I didn't get the same impression. Matter of fact, you and I discussed that at the time. I thought that David Garrard would be a guy that might have some value for them to stick around and sort of give Ryan Tannehill a little bit of time. But obviously he got the knee injury and he lost that time. And
I thought
decided to just go with the rookie, and he has exceeded my expectations. That's the one area that I'll say.
Yep.
I didn't think – I thought he could be a good quarterback.
But
I didn't think
soon.
He would be right away because he had so little experience.
I also thought that Matt Moore played well for them at the end of last year.
He's not bad. He's not a bad backup. He can't play regularly.
I think
another backup,
coach,
I think Eric is right. I think he's okay.
And I think another head coach might have said, well, let's start with the guy we had last year who helped us and then work in the rookie. Philbin made a gutsy move, and it looks like so far it was paying off for him.
Yeah, and he's played better, and it'll be interesting to see how he holds up physically. Now he's dealing with a knee and a quad issue. That you know caused him to leave the Jets game, and now I guess you know it's a question of whether or not he's going to be practicing full time. He and Matt Moore are both practicing today, taking some reps, according to the stuff I'm reading on Twitter. I think that Miami is decent. I don't think they're a train wreck. I don't think that's a train wreck team. But if you look at them, you know they're like near the bottom of the rankings in both offense and defense. They're in the 20s. In both offense and defense. Now, they've been able to keep the points down, which is more important. But I think you look at them, they played the Rams and they played the Cardinals and the NFC West teams that don't have offense, which I keep telling you is why I think the NFC West defenses are so highly ranked is because no one in that division can play offense. So that's six games that you play every year against a bad offense. And I know that you laugh at me for that, but I think that's why those defenses are as ranked as highly as they are.
I'm laughing, Fred, because strippers, in the amount of time it took for us to get off the phone with Neil, has already sent me a link to a weather.com graph showing the comparable weather between Montreal and North Providence.
Having visited Montreal twice, I can say it is a nice place.
Really?
Yeah, real nice.
I've been to Toronto. I haven't been to Montreal.
Toronto, I hear, is huge.
Toronto's really nice.
Like and a big city.
It's a legit city.
I mean, I was skiing there, so I didn't really get, you know, it was the winter. I didn't get to. It was with a CYO thing.
There are four bullet points comparing North Providence and Montreal. The first one is North Providence, Rhode Island, on average, is warmer than Montreal, Canada by 9 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay. Two bullet points later, Montreal, Canada, on average, is cooler than North Providence by 10 degrees Fahrenheit.
I don't know.
Now, if that had the right number, if it was 9 both ways, that would be like a Paul Perillo like high school report. Like, I'm going to use bullet points. And one of them is going to be that.
Reading it the opposite way.
but they did it
I had 5 bullet points.
They did it the opposite way, but they got the numbers different. How is that possible?
And while up there.
Yeah, you get the numbers wrong, and now you just look like a buffoon.
You definitely want to visit St. Catherine Street, I guess.
What's that?
Rue?
You just go
Well done,
it.
Paul. Oh, is it one of those type places?
I think so.
Yes.
Chester's in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Chester.
Hey, boys. How you doing today?
Good.
Chester's. We met you out in Seattle, right?
Yeah. How you doing, Eric?
Very good.
You around today, man. You know, you're actually the last face I remember until the tequila took over. That.
Wow.
Hey, guys. You know, I cracked the code on the whole Welcher situation. You know, I have a feeling he lost. He had a bet with a guy with an 83 shirt on once, and. The guy just didn't pay up.
Oh, I see. I see what you did there.
You know, Welcher. Anyway.
Yeah, we need another set of silverware, hi-ho.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He was talking to Kevin. No, not you, Chester.
Felt real good to finally watch a game without an ulcer developing for once, you know. And I'm just thinking about the defense and everybody panicking and all this talk and this and that. But, you know, I think our big focus going in the second half, looking at the schedule, looks to me like a lot of these teams are run-oriented. They tend to showcase that run first, which I think plays to our advantage. You know, Houston being obviously the more balanced, and after seeing San Francisco last week, I'm starting to see a little more there. But, you know, I feel good about our chances of making the turn here. I think our secondary is going to get healthy, and that'll be nice. But offense has got to complete these drives and catch the ball, Lloyd. You know, certainly, you know, there's a connection between the O-line getting healthy and Brady's accuracy and, you know, being the hot topic today. But I think this playoff position is going to come down to tiebreakers, you know, Baltimore, Houston. Got to make sure we key up on those matchups and not blow those games. And God, I haven't been this happy for a bye week in a long time. So,
yeah.
As far as injuries, when are we going to hear the next update? I know the guys are off this week, so love to hear about that.
You won't hear the next updates for a week from today.
Yeah, because they don't give out the injury reports during the bye week. There will be a practice tomorrow that we'll have access to, so that might just. I mean, but that's probably going to be one of the least attended practices of the year because they're going to give a lot of veterans who aren't necessarily injury report worthy some time off just for rest and relaxation or whatever. It wouldn't be surprised if you don't see Brady at practice tomorrow, for instance.
Okay.
So yeah. Just something to look for. I mean, we'll report, obviously, who's there and who's not, but don't read too much into it during the bye week.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm thinking, you know, we play it safe with some of these injuries with Buffalo and just make sure these guys like 81 get healthy. You know, I think we all feel like we may have brought him back a little too early. And, you know, if there's any fringe injuries there, you know, that's my take on that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, have a good week, guys. Enjoy the relaxation a little bit. I'm glad you're all safe, by the way, too.
Thanks, Chester. Appreciate it.
All right. Chester from Oregon, thanks for the call. All right, food's here. We're going to eat some of it, and we'll be right back after this.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASC certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Talking about pretty much anything you want today. Tom Brady, Patriots bye, Eric's trip to London, and the results of that trip.
You were there too, Fred.
No, I know, but I didn't have as much success as you did, you know?
And Fred talked about his trip yesterday.
I mean, this could be a life-changing trip for you. This sounds like it was...
You mean he almost did stay there?
Well, this sounds like the stuff that, you know, is in the
movies
stars.
Are written about?
Yeah, you know?
A lot of coincidences in there.
But how are you going to, like, contain yourself if you don't see her again until, like, the spring? You know?
Who knows?
You know, you're gonna have to think of
something. Take it one day at a time here. You know, focusing on the bye week, Fred.
Paul,
you know,
could you pour me a Coke, please?
It is what it is.
Now, is she listening?
God, I hope not. No, I don't.
You didn't
think so.
Tell her about this show, did you?
No, I said we'd do a radio show, but I didn't give her details.
She didn't listen yesterday, did she?
No.
Yeah. When we intimated that it was
probably
fictional.
Probably a smart
really
not to tell her about this show.
Yeah. Yeah, we learned that lesson before.
Oh, that! Oh, really? What happened before?
No, I'm just saying we've had problems with people listening to the show before.
We have?
Yeah.
When was that?
I don't recall a specific example, but
sounds like
you're sure it's happened.
Like the time Paul was talking about the girl he lost his virginity to.
I didn't have a problem
or
with that.
But she might have been listening or something.
Yeah, I was relatively certain that she wasn't, and I don't think I ever mentioned her specific name, did
no,
I?
No, but that's the only thing that comes to the top of my mind with girls.
All right.
But anyway, I've never had a problem with the listeners of this show, Kevin, as you know. They're all stupid.
Kevin in Maine writes, and today's a good day. I get to listen live. Wow, what a start. Fred and Paul going at it right out of the gates.
I know,
golden.
That was like scripted.
Regarding Brady, I think you're both right. I think there are times like Sunday when Brady is as good as he ever was, but these moments are getting fewer and farther apart.
Then I'm
right.
Short,
he has not been as consistent. He is less accurate and more jittery than in the past. Perhaps this is due to an evolving O-line, but I think he has started to show his age, but is far from being in his dotage. Now that
I don't know what that means, but I agree with it.
Eric knows what it means. Now that does not mean he is done. I think he is by far one of the best, if not the best, still and not done. So here's a question. How is Brady aging as compared to the other great quarterbacks at comparable times in their careers?
Well, he's 35 now, right?
Well, I think. See, okay, so let's take Marino. He had that Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
After that Achilles injury, he always limped. And he wasn't the same after that Achilles injury, I don't think.
You're just thinking Brady's not the same since his knee injury?
No. I'm just saying I'm looking at the great quarter. Yeah, I think he's better. I think Marino, I did see a physical thing, and I also think that Miami, you know, held on to him too long or held on to what he could do too long and didn't help him the way the Broncos helped Elway.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
I think Montana played till like he was 40, didn't he?
Close, I think.
Yeah, and he had the back issue.
Yeah.
And that really slowed him down. Not that, again, he was a very mobile guy either, but it really did.
He was extremely mobile, Montana.
Well, he rolled out, but he wasn't a runner, really. You know, like
he wasn't like
Brett
Steve
Favre.
Young.
So
he wasn't like
Brady
Steve
was
Young.
Mobile, but you don't think Montana was mobile?
No, I don't think Brady's mobile. I think Montana's much more.
Brady was a very mobile quarterback. He does not have the same kind of mobility now. But he was a very mobile quarterback. He moved very well in the
pocket.
We're not talking about a Steve Young type.
Yeah,
I'm not calling him being a runner.
Yeah.
I think that's a running quarterback.
Right.
I wouldn't say that Brady was a runner,
right.
But he was very mobile.
Oh yeah, but I think that injuries slowed down Montana toward the end there. But when he went to Kansas City, he still won football games. I mean,
they went to the AFC Championship. With
yeah.
Him.
Namath had two bad knees. You know, he was just a shell of himself. He went downhill fast. I'm trying to think. You know, Favre kind of his problem.
I want to kiss you.
His problem
Thanks, Joe.
Was
yeah.
that
huge compliment.
Yeah. He never made up for the lack of physical with increased smarts. He never adjusted his game. He wanted to remain a gunslinger till the last day, and he just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, I just think it's hard to compare. I mean, Favre is the only one that you could possibly compare because it's close. But it was such a different game. When Montana and Elway, I mean, even in the mid to late 90s, than you play today, quarterbacks were asked to do totally different things then than they do now. You know, it's not really the same, to me, anyway.
I think you're right.
I think
Paul.
The completion percentages are now expected to be between 65 and 70%.
Right, whereas that used to be out off the charts.
That was like one great game.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that. Now people do that routinely. I just think if everything is. You know, Montana would be the only one because of the West Coast offense was similar to, you know, a lot of the spread offenses that you see today with the timing and the short stuff. But, you know, Dan Marino threw the ball down the field. John Elway threw the ball down the field. The numbers aren't gonna be as good when you do that. It's just a fact of life.
Let's see. Barbara writes in. She said there's a great article about Solder and Vollmer on footballoutsiders.com. And it's written by a former O-lineman. I think Andy would especially like it. Great photos of good hand position. And Barb's in Sudbury, one of four towns in Massachusetts with no school today. Still feeling the effects of Sandy.
Thank God we went back to school today.
Driving you a little crazy at home then?
Well, Monday, yes. And then my poor wife was by herself yesterday. So, yeah, I have a feeling if there was another one of those days, I would have been... Maybe she would have passed me as I was walking up the stairs. I'm going out.
Let's see. Marco, the Redbone fan from Mexico, writes in. Just to make a comment on Tom Brady's skills or abilities, I have to agree with Fred. If we are going to see it in numbers, Brady's numbers are way better than 10 years ago. Maybe not better than 3 or 4, but come on, this is easy. The league is not the same than 4 years ago. Everything changes, but not everything changes in a bad way. I see Tom Brady as smarter, wiser, mature in terms of game management as a leader of this offense. But remember, he is not alone here. He has teammates and coaches. The most important thing about him is that since he is here, he gives the team the opportunity to be competitive and be successful. You'll all have to agree that in order to be an elite team, you have to have an elite quarterback, and Tom is, and that will not change anytime soon. Numbers won't say everything about a great player because a great player puts so much more than that for his team, a team that has been different almost in every year and yet has been successful and competitive and, most important, a contender. Okay? There you go. Joel from Attleboro.
Are you surprised at how many people are it's kind of a split vote here with people who are on Paul's side or on your side.
Yeah, plus, he's not reading some of the ones that were on my side.
Oh.
I've been told on Twitter.
Oh.
I'm just getting to reading them.
You know, what was an email that you already read that indicated that you didn't read the part where I said I agreed with you?
What is this? Joel writes
in. He looks the other way.
I don't know.
You have the emails.
I don't have the emails. Joel writes in, hey, guys, love the show. Always a breath of fresh air. Just wanted to touch on the Tom Brady thing. The man has nothing left to prove. Three-time Super Bowl champ, two-time Super Bowl MVP, most consecutive passes without an interception, most touchdown passes in a season, second-highest passing yards in a season. I mean, he's so good. Good isn't even a word for him. I agree that Brady has missed a few plays so far, but who hasn't? Gronk has dropped passes and fumbled. Hernandez has fumbled and dropped passes. Once again, can't stay healthy. Welker dropped passes. Even Lloyd is performing okay. So while the offense is a bit off, but Brady still puts us in a great position to win, I feel that Brady needs this bye week to relax and watch the performance. He's going to be as good, if not better, than last year because that is who he is.
Maybe he will be.
Joel in Merrimack says, so here we go with the Tom's not Tom argument. Okay, Fred, but Paul has a good point. Brady feeling the phantom pressure is not just a single incident. We've seen it in several games this season. And when you see something that reoccurs, you have to ask if this is a coincidence or a trend. Now, I'm not big one on coincidence, so I'm leaning toward a trend. And I think this year will rear its ugly head when we face Houston and San Francisco. So is Brady as good as he's ever been? That's hard to say. But I think the culmination of hits and the knee injury have played factors. I don't think he stands quite as tall in the pocket as he had in the past. He doesn't like taking the hits he would have taken 4 or 5 years ago. As much as I hate to do this, watch Eli. He reminds me of a young Brady, not an all-around ability, in the way he stands in the pocket, always looking down the field. That used to be Brady. Now I've seen Brady looking around on occasion. So if you add it all up and compare him to Brady of 5 years ago, it goes a long way towards making Paul's argument. Now, having said that, all that, the only thing I have left to say is F the Jets. So, all right. You guys are quiet.
Sorry, still eating.
Still eating. Paul's done.
I am done with this argument.
I knew this was going to go.
Fred in Copenhagen writes in, are we overly critical of the Patriots?
No.
When the offense scores a blowout, it seems that we nitpick about the D not being able to force enough plays. When the Pats win close ones, lower scoring games, we can't give enough credit to the D and attribute the win to other teams' mistakes. Were you guys like this with the 0-2 and 0-4 teams when they were winning close, low scoring games? I wasn't listening back then, so I'm just curious.
See, I think that's another example of the straw man argument. Who was saying that the Patriots' win on Sunday was not impressive on all sides of the ball, all three phases of the game?
I don't know.
So I don't think we were overly. I mean, John Rook wasn't even here yesterday, so we didn't even have a nitpick Tuesday.
I am not saying you are critical of the Patriots at every corner. Maybe I'm just tired of this D taking baby steps and having to hear about it every week from all corners, not just PFW. Paul, you mentioned many shows ago that you preferred the 0-4 offense. What made the 0-4 offense so good, and in what way did you feel it was better than the one now? I actually think this was a show from last season when critiquing last season's offense. Could Ridley and Vereen make it more like the 0-4 offense?
That's a good question. What made me like that one?
Was it more balanced?
It's probably not
because
fair.
Because it was more balanced?
No, because I'm not a huge balance fan. But it's probably not fair to say that the offense, I liked it better. But rather what I think it was Hamza said earlier about how Brady now operates under a different set of parameters than he did then. It's so much more difficult now. And probably what I liked about that offense so much more was the more conventional manner in which it operated because it could, because it didn't have to score 35 every game. And that's probably not fair to say the offense now isn't as good as the offense in 04, because the offense now kind of has to operate this way. And I
because of the defense?
Yeah. Yeah, they can't afford to punt.
Right.
You know, they can't. And it's like what Peyton Manning had to deal with, you know, throughout the 2000s. You know, they knew if they had a punt a couple of times in the first half, they would have to play catch up. And that's the same thing that Tom Brady goes through now. And what I liked about Sunday against St. Louis is they sort of returned to that mentality of, we're going to go out and we're going to score. And then when we get the lead, then we'll worry about balancing things out. That's what I liked about it. No running the risk of, hey, if I run it a couple times here and I don't get anything and now it's 3rd and 11 and I have to punt, then I might fall behind. I don't like that. I like doing what you do best. And to me, that's Tom chucking it.
Amber in Towson, Maryland. My name is Amber. My boyfriend, Brandon, is a huge Patriots fan. He listens to your show religiously and really enjoys it, especially living in Maryland and being far from his favorite team. We have been trying to plan a trip to Foxborough for a game for over a year now, but being broke college students, we haven't had the chance. Brandon has only ever gone to one Patriots game, and I know he'd love to see them play in Foxborough. I just wanted to ask, is there any cheaper way we can buy tickets for any of the games this season, because it's turning into a pretty expensive trip from Maryland to Massachusetts? If you guys know of any way to do this, maybe cheaper tickets up there, we'd be grateful. Again, thanks for providing.
Do they have to go to a game here? Because a road game might be less expensive for them.
Yeah, could be.
Because tickets are often...
If you go to Jacksonville, they're halfway down there.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, unless he really wants to see a game here.
Yeah, if you want to see Foxborough, then I would say, if you're willing to risk it, then rather than going to, you know, StubHub or Ace Ticket before and, you know, paying a lot of money, come up, enjoy Boston, then come to the game on Sunday and try to find somebody selling outside, and you probably close to game time won't have to spend too much over the face value.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a risk.
Yeah, it's a little uncertain, but there are always people selling tickets, so.
Yep.
It's not a bad option.
You know, the other thing is join the wait list, and then you can buy from season tickets for face value, but it's going to cost you $100 a person to join the wait list.
Yeah, so you're better off just showing up and trying to get something off the street.
But if you plan on coming more than once, the wait list is a good option because you can go into Ticket Exchange. Season ticket holders put their tickets up there that they're not going to use, and they are sold at face value. So that's a pretty sure way that you're not going to get ripped off.
How many, ballpark figure, how many people take advantage of that service?
I don't. I'd say I don't know. I'm pulling this out from something I heard. There's maybe a couple hundred pairs of tickets per game.
Each game?
Yeah.
That's significant.
But it varies.
That's,
you know,
significant,
that's like
though.
An average.
It's not like 4 or 5 people.
Right.
That's a significant number.
Yeah. Yep. Yemi from Texas.
That is a higher number. I agree with Eric. That's a higher number than I would have anticipated.
Yeah.
You would think if you had season tickets,
you
could get rid of them.
I also remember
if
one
you couldn't
game.
Go. Right.
There were
you
a couple games where there wasn't anything available, you know, like playoffs or.
Yeah, big opponents.
I mean, see, I could see there being a couple hundred people every week that can't go. Things happen.
Right.
You know, you have, you know, illness, death in the family, whatever. Things pop up.
I'll tell you what.
But I would think that you'd be able to give them away.
I'll tell you what. Amber said they're college students. They're going to be off during Christmas and New Year's break, right? The last regular season game of the year, Miami. That's probably going to be a game where it could be cold. A lot of people might not show up. You might have a better opportunity of trying to get that game.
Yeah. That's the only game I have left.
Yeah. So that might be an option if you're not, you know, concerned about sitting out in potentially cold, snowy weather.
Yeah. And thus, if they do that, they become not a tourist, but a traveler.
Right, because they know what they're doing.
Right.
Thank you for correcting my ignorance.
Yemi from Texas, is it becoming increasingly evident that, this is a question. Is it becoming increasingly evident that the Patriots should not have given Hernandez that big contract, especially if it costs us Welker in the offseason? This should remain the Welker and Gronk show for at least another 2 years.
No, Hernandez is going to be fine.
And Hernandez's contract will not prohibit you from re-signing Welker in any way, shape, or form. Can you agree with that, Fred? Do we have to have an argument about that, too?
Right.
Okay. You can re-sign Welker if you want. And I have no problem if they don't want to.
Well, we certainly can.
But they can re-sign him to a deal that would be very, very simple to fit into the salary cap.
Canadian Mike in Florida, I'm originally from Montreal, and while it is a great city, There are enough pompous, stuck-up jackasses in Montreal, so I suggest Eric stays in Boston.
No.
However,
that's
as far,
exactly where he belongs.
However, as far as everyone else is concerned, it's a fun city to visit. While there is a lot going on in the summer, I think the charm of the city is more apparent in the wintertime.
See, I thought I'd heard that.
Anyway, as far as Brady goes, obviously he's getting older, but we can all agree that an aging Brady is better than 95% of the remaining QBs in the league. That number may go down a few percentage points in the next few years, but who cares? Let's worry about Brady in about 3 years. Please stop talking about his decline when he has 16 touchdowns and 3 interceptions and leads the league in passing yards on pace for 4,900. What a decline. Somebody get him some Geritol before he hurts himself. See you guys in Miami. Great show. Even you, Eric.
So it's strictly a numbers thing then.
Well, you got to draw your conclusion some way.
I'm drawing my conclusion by watching the games and watching the fourth quarter of some games, like the Jets and like Seattle and like Baltimore, where he didn't play at a Tom Brady level. That's all I'm basing it on. The next 8 games, he might play them all like he did Sunday against St. Louis, and maybe I'll change my opinion. And I'll say, you know what, Fred? The second half of the season, he played as well as I've ever seen him play.
Harry in Maryland, I have a buddy who's a Bills fan who once gave out 5-hour energy drinks for Halloween. Today's stat for all the What is the World Coming To parents out there who don't let their kids go trick-or-treating. Total number of children in the U.S. killed by tampered candy given by family members, 2 in 1970 and 1974. From strangers, 0. I don't know why he felt he needed to send that to us, but okay.
Who was that? Because someone put something like that on Facebook.
That's
today.
The Fuller family in Maryland.
The Fuller family?
He's emailed before. I recognize that.
All right.
So maybe he... Straw man arguments? Everybody's worried about tainted candy?
Very, very well done. No, someone put up something on Facebook today about that, you know, the urban myth. You know, when you were
right.
a kid?
Yeah.
And when you were a kid, like,
the razor blades and the apples.
Razor blade and an apple, and, you know, your parents had to check all your candy before. You know, does anybody ever know of anybody
right.
who's ever
who fell
that.
Victim to tampered with candy? And that's right. why I just thought that was a coincidence that I had seen that.
It is
one of
still
my...
a good idea, though, to check
oh,
all
yeah,
the candy or treats that you get. You know, you don't want to just...
You make sure that like any kind of candy bar is not unwrapped.
Yeah.
yeah. Or anything like that. But, you know, as one of the people, one of my friends said, you know, who didn't just take the apple and rifle it back off the house? Or was that just an Everett thing?
Right. Who's giving out apples right. in Everett, by the way? Yeah.
Well, exactly.
No kid wants fresh fruit in their trick
and treat bag. No, and I love fruit. That's the only thing that's remotely good for you that I would eat. All the time. If I got an apple on Halloween, it would be going back at the house.
Brent writes in, just wondering if you read Pro Football Talk about Jeff Fisher complaining about Walt Coleman missing 3 roughing the passer calls in offensive pass interference. I didn't read that.
They blatantly missed an offensive pass interference on Lloyd.
Oh, yeah?
On the 28-yard play down the side, even Phil Sims was showing it. Not Chris Sims, as I called him in the paper, but Phil
right.
Sims. They ran a little wheel route with Woodhead coming around.
Yep.
And Lloyd just buried Jolon Dunbar. And not surprisingly, Woodhead was uncovered down the sideline. The roughing the passers, I don't remember 3. He said 3?
I thought 3 roughing the passers.
Hightowers that he hurt Bradford on, had that been Brady, there's no question in my mind that would have been called. He drilled his helmet into him and kind of pile-drived him with his helmet into the ground.
Also, Eric, how is searching LinkedIn devilishly creepy?
I was just Freddie, hold on
relax.
A second, Freddie. All that said, you know, maybe the game would have been 38-7 instead. You know, the whole whining, you know, Jeff Fisher, put your tin cup away and play football.
Which Brent
I
is
wanted
this?
To get that in
Illinois.
There, too.
Oh, okay, because I met Brent in Switzerland at the fan club party, so I just wanted to make sure, just getting my Brents straight.
I was standing at the door at the fan club when the French contingent walked in,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, bonjour, bienvenue.
Bienvenue. How did they respond?
They were like, bonjour.
And they wanted to talk to Eric, but he wasn't there. Right? He took off on
right. That was early. Eric, I don't think Eric had gotten there yet.
I didn't know there was the French contingent.
They
French
were contingent not there? Happy with you, Eric.
No,
I'll tell you.
Not at all.
I apologize.
The UK Patriots
both
fans
nights.
Not happy with
even
you.
Even Mike Reese showed up Friday night. Friday night was a great time. Smaller room, obviously.
Yep.
It was just the
more intimate setting. One
more
might
intimate
say.
Setting, mm-hmm. and it was.
What'd
fun.
You have?
Well, they had hors d'oeuvres, but I got there. I was starving. I had a burger, which was excellent. Excellent burger. And then we drank a lot of beer.
Was it cold?
Yes.
Nice.
Actually, you know what? That's a whole thing. I was talking with some of the UK chaps while I was there.
They were tweeting me during the course of the weekend.
That's kind
it was
of
funny.
A myth that, you know, most of these bars have cold beer. Hmm. And as a matter of fact,
I had no delusions to think that it was just in London. Right. It was just sometimes you get you go to a bar sometimes and switched out and it's not quite cold yet. That's all it was.
In fact, in the place on Friday night on the tap, and some of the labels, it had ice cold. So they were actually
promoting it,
the fact that it was ice cold.
Yeah, some of the guys were tweeting me over the weekend, and they're saying, Paulie, we just started the beers, and they're cold, or stuff like that. Oh, yeah. And I was laughing. Oh, you crazy UK Patriot fans.
Jacob,
too bad that you don't have Eric to kick around anymore because he didn't think highly enough of you.
It has nothing to do with them. I gave 50 people a tour when they came here last season, or whatever it was.
Why didn't you keep her at the cafe?
She had another engagement that night.
So you went with her to that engagement?
No.
So then why did you stay?
Can I ask a question about this?
Okay, so now
I haven't probed. We're almost, you know, we only have 25 minutes left.
Oh, great.
Did you meet her on this trip?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you strip her on this trip?
That's not what I said. That's not what I said. Don't take it to an ugly place.
I want to know.
Andy's not here.
Did you get the job done?
Stop it. Don't do that.
All right.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
So you're not going to answer those types of questions?
You know the answer to those types of questions.
First base, second base, third base, a home run.
Stop it. Not answering
those. Round those bases, we shall roam.
That was funny.
And is she Spanish and Dutch?
Danish.
Spanish
half
and Danish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's because her mother is...
Mother is Spanish, father is Danish.
Okay. All right. So...
And you just... How'd you meet her?
She actually tweeted me a question about the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
And as I try to do with most... You know, reasonable questions. I try to answer them.
Well, usually you're condescending, so I guess you weren't.
Touché.
I guess you must have been nice to her.
I was nice to her, yeah. And then she sent me a reply to that, saying that she was new to London. She had just moved from the U.S. and was kind of hinting that she needed, you know, some company. So.
Wow.
I said, well, we're probably going out, you know, as
this company cost you money?
Stop it, Fred.
Have you put in your expenses yet?
Please.
No, that's great. And she's 23,
Mid-20s.
I'm sure Mr. Kraft wouldn't have any problem
mid-20s.
With that. Good for morale.
I
need a happy staff.
She was even prettier in person than her photos.
Than her photos.
Yeah. And her photos were great.
Right now, Stripper is looking on Eric's timeline see if he can figure out who it is.
Yeah, don't do anything stupid, strippers, please.
Oh, my goodness. But that's good. I'm glad.
Thanks for lunch, by the way. But don't do anything stupid.
Yes.
Thanks, strippers.
I hope this works out, Eric. I truly do.
So at least you could do after your boys.
My only suggestion
like dogs
to you
night.
Is... Take it slow. Don't.
You're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we've been in constant contact since we've been back, so it's nice.
Jacob in Denmark writes in, and he says, I was at the game in London. Great experience. Anyway, I really love seeing Dennard play, and I think he should be ahead of both Arrington and Moore on the depth chart. But do you think McCourty will be back at cornerback when either Gregory or Chung gets healthy? My favorite secondary lineup would be McCourty and Dennard at corner, Wilson and Chung at safety, and Arrington as the slot.
I think you will see that.
I think you'll see Wilson out and Gregory in, but I think the rest of it will be. I think you're going to see Dennard.
I think
you
see Dennard at the starting right corner spot. Yeah,
I agree.
Okay, so we like what Dennard's been doing
so far.
I just like the fact that he, as a rule, plays a little bit more physically than. What we normally see from our corners. Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get beat. He's going to get penalties. He's going to make mistakes. He made mistakes the other day. He missed some tackles, I thought. But I just like the way he plays. I like the way he goes about trying to knock receivers off their roots and whatnot. And he's not always given a cushion. I like that.
Juve writes in, and he's from West Palm Beach. Says, since we're talking about nothing important today, how about this? What do you think about an NFL owner surprising the fans and sitting down next to them once in a while, or maybe inviting them to join him in his suite? I personally think this would be a great opportunity for fans to interact with the team's owner. Mind you, I can't see Jerry Jones doing that, but for Mr. Kraft, he seemed like the kind of guy that would enjoy the fans' company. Glad to hear you guys are safe. We are here in Southeast Florida. Just went through a major flood from Hurricane Ivan, so we know a lot about hurricanes.
I think that's not a bad idea, actually. I was thinking of something similar to that recently because I had seen somebody had given away. I think it was the Mesco thing when Mesco gave away the tickets to London, and I was thinking how like maybe ownership might do that, you know, like as a regular thing. Like,
how about we bring up a fantasy?
Oh, I know that's no. I know what it was. It was when Richard Branson was here.
Yep.
And I was thinking, you know, you see a lot of the celebrities go and sit up there, and I was thinking, you know, it'd be kind of cool if they raffled off or did something, you know, for the charitable foundation or whatever, to each week have
it would be
you know,
cool.
2 to 4 fans go and sit up there just to experience what it's like. That's not a bad idea.
You know, you mentioned Richard Branson. Some of the UK blokes informed me that he actually doesn't own Virgin Airlines. And what he does for a lot of these things that he's involved in, he lends his brand to it and takes a stake in it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the owner of these things, like Virgin Records and Virgin
Media. Well, he started Virgin Records.
Yeah, but he doesn't own the whole thing. Maybe that's where he started. But a lot of these things that are Virgin, whatever, he doesn't own.
He's making money off them.
Oh, yeah. He's got a stake, and they pay him to use his brand. Hmm. So
the airline either was already in existence or was somebody started it up and asked him to.
Maybe one of our UK guys can, but that's what they were telling me, that he's not actually the owner.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he's still doing pretty well, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't cry for him.
Peter in Denmark, another.
Wow.
He says, on behalf of all Danes, I feel proud that we are able to service Eric in his time of need.
Well done. Gotta thank some of the Spanish too. Where's Iggy in Madrid?
I did hear from him on Twitter. He was at the game, but he didn't get there until I think the day of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Aaron from Sterling, Virginia. Hey, Freddie, glad to have you back from across the pond. We were all worried about your travels and with the weather, and it's probably best you brought Eric back too. Not a good idea to leave him over there if we are trying to positively promote the NFL. Now on to this Brady debate. Paul must live in a cave. ESPN talking heads stop short of saying that Brady is worse, but several of their shows have asked the question, has Brady lost a step? Are we seeing a different Brady?
I have no problem with that analysis.
None of them will come out and say that he is worse, but they are all hinting around it.
Absolutely.
Setting up their readers' callers to say it for them.
That's fine. That's analysis. That's now, not he's done.
Now the real
there's a big gap between has he lost a step and is he done. Now, so in other words, is he no longer the greatest who's ever played and is just one of the greats as opposed to being done? You don't see the Grand Canyon in between those two statements?
Now, the real question this debate brings up is how many more years are we going to have with Paul? I've been listening to you guys for years, and his performance continues to slide. He rarely wins arguments against Andy on PFW TV when in the past he used to hold his own. On the radio, you could count on him to make one or two intelligent points each week. Now we are lucky to find that in 2 months of shows. The worst is that he flip-flops on players each week. First, Welker sucks, then he's worth a big contract, then he sucks again. Even today, Paul says Welker is the stud on the team, and yet he's fine if the Pats don't re-sign him. No consistency. I think it's time we get it younger at his position. Turn the tables on you there, Paul.
Yeah, I don't really see the flip-flopping of Welker. I thought in the first 8 games that he was the Patriots' best player. I have no problem if they don't re-sign him. I don't really see how that's a contradictory statement.
See, I'm kind of the same way.
He's a 32-year-old receiver. I think that they can move on from him and be fine.
Right.
If he was 25, 26, and he had the the first half that he just did, I would think differently. It's an age thing. It's not a talent thing. I have no doubt that he'll continue to be really good in the short term. I just don't know what he'll be in the long term.
Adi writes in, he's from Keene. I agree with that previous emailer about Brady. I think Tom plays a little more hesitant or tentative in the pocket since the injury, perceiving pressure that isn't always there, and rightly so, given he's seen that he could be out of football just one play. That having been said, here's a question. How much better would Tom and his legacy have been had he never suffered that knee injury against Buffalo? I know it's a supposition, but I have a feeling... But that was against Kansas City, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
I know it's a supposition, but I have a feeling that had Tom not had that knee injury, the Patriots would not have not only made the playoffs in that year, that 10-6 year with Castle, but probably have been in yet one more Super Bowl, just my opinion. How much better would the Patriots have been? I mean, obviously they'd have been better than Castle's 10-6, but, you know, they came out.
They were 11-5,
but... They came out, and Randy Moss.
They might have gone 16-0 again, and I'm not exaggerating.
Really?
They might have.
You think so?
They had the same team back,
right,
with a schedule that was half as challenging as the 2007 was. They probably would have
still won.
They probably would have lost a game or two just because 16-0 was so ridiculously hard to do and so special. There's a reason it's only happened once. They probably would have lost a game or two, no more than that.
But once they got in the playoffs. You know, now we know what that defense was trending towards. Would they have still had problems with the defense in the playoffs?
Yeah, and they were completely beaten up, too, that year down the stretch. In the defense, remember Ty Warren and Vince Wilfork were playing on fumes. And, you know, I remember talking to them the day after they were eliminated, and they were saying how hard it was the last couple of weeks. Yeah, their defense was struggling, but they had – they would have had the same kind of situation. They would have had home games in the playoffs, and if they could have won two home games, they would have been back to the Super Bowl. That they were so good, and the schedule that year was so bad.
Yeah.
I don't see them losing more than one or two games.
Chad from Douglasville, Georgia, since there's no game to discuss this week, I thought I'd bring up some Halloween-themed questions. One, who is the scariest Patriots player, past or present, that you have ever interviewed?
Oh. Wally, right?
Ted Washington.
Yeah. Ted Washington.
Easy. We
can. Hand style. Ted Washington would be one. McGinnis would be up there, but no one would compete with Ted Washington.
Corey Dillon?
Corey Dillon would be two. Corey Dillon would be two. That's a good one, Freddie. I forgot about him. It's funny, after we were just talking about him so much.
Right.
Corey Dillon was one of the few guys that I actually legitimately wondered if he would get mad at somebody and hit them.
Right.
You know, I never had any problem. Like, I didn't really have a lot of interaction with him. I remember he didn't talk to the media, but every day you'd go up and you'd say, hey, Corey, you got a second? And he'd go, nope. And he would say something a lot less, you right. know.
Polite
than that. And you just kind of went on your way. But you always checked in. That's like really the only I ever talked to him. But he was a scary dude. Ted Washington was just an intimidating, large man.
Yeah. Bigger than Wilfork, much bigger.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
He's two Wilforks.
Yeah.
He's like 6'6",
yeah.
Ted Washington. Wilfork is not that tall.
Yeah,
he's
no,
only like
6'1
or 6'2. Right. I mean, I say not that tall, like yeah. 6 feet is not, you know. That.
I'll never forget after the Kansas City or Texas game, Ted Johnson's dad owns a rib place and did a whole spread for all the players. So
yeah,
everybody got on the plane having just eaten ribs and beans and everything.
Oh,
and
boy.
I went to the toilet, and Ted Washington walks out and goes, don't go in there.
Oh.
I don't even know how he fit in there.
Willie could be intimidating, too. Willie had an air about him that he told you, don't come by
right.
here. Lawyer, for as nice and as friendly as Lawyer could be, he could do that to you too. He would put an air out there, a vibe that, you know, was like, don't come to this, don't come to my locker.
Well, so did Brewski.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Really
difference between being scary and
right.
Yeah, never mind.
What Patriots rookie scares or worries you the most playing their position? I have to do that after each one.
Probably Ebner right now, because of his inexperience.
Which Patriots scares you the most playing
their position?
Rookie.
Oh, rookie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tavon Wilson.
Really?
He got beat by the same exact play twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Go ask Bill about it. Bill chewed his butt out on the sideline after that play.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Friday the 13th.
I don't like scary movies.
First one. I don't like scary movies
because you get
either.
Too scared?
I do.
That's just not my thing.
I remember watching something.
What about Jaws? You see Jaws?
Yeah, but I wouldn't consider that a scary movie.
Really?
It was scary, but not a scary movie.
Right.
I agree with, you know, I agree with Eric. I'm going to use an Indian.
It wasn't a horror flick. Yeah. It was scary to see, you know, what happened, but it was a horror flick.
Yeah, it was a suspenseful movie.
A movie that, like, I was just, like, riveted to my Silence of the Lambs.
Oh
yeah.
That was
a thriller. That was, yeah, that probably would qualify.
That was scary.
That would, yeah. I'll say that then. That's a good one. Yeah.
I remember seeing something. I think it might have been Friday the 13th or one of those kind
slasher
of movies.
Film.
Yeah. And I legitimately saw it at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. And I remember I was down the street from my house. It was like 3 houses down. And I left my friend's house where I watched it, and I went home. I sprinted as fast as I could. It was broad daylight. And I sprinted as fast as I could. I was so scared after seeing it. I forget which movie it was, though.
Those are the kind of movies I don't like.
Did you ever see Hellraiser?
I don't. Yeah, no. I don't find that. Yeah, I know a lot of people they can't wait for the slasher. Yeah. Like,
Hellraiser was a really good. It was a gory movie, but it had some thought to it. Like the concept was pretty cool, opening the gates of hell and all that. It was pretty cool.
How about like Saw and those movies?
Yeah, my son loves Saw, and Saw was more intelligent than just a slasher movie. You know, the guy who was Saw, I forget, he had a name, but like he had like a history, and there was a story behind why he did what he did.
And they show this to you?
Yeah, and why he challenged people the way he did. The other movie that was really scary, but wasn't really a slasher, was Seven. With
Brad Pitt.
With Brad Pitt. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that movie, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that really got to me. You
know? Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of the different ones for the reasons Eric said. I don't like necessarily being scared out of my mind when I go to the movies.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't go generally to movies that are slasher movies. I'll see them when they're on cable, but I won't spend money.
Because you don't want to be outside.
Right, I don't want to be, you know.
You run down from Richie
Ross's
house.
Plus, you're a superhero. You don't want to, you know.
Seriously, Richie Rocco lived from like where we are now to KSP. I sprinted down the street like no one was getting me.
Let's see. Jeremy writes in, how about this? We kick Arrington's butt off the team, keep McCurdy at safety, where at least we can feel a little safer with his experience back there, keep the younger corners going, and someone call Troy Brown to come aboard for the second half. Obviously, that's a joke.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Troy Brown.
Has Arrington played that poorly lately?
Yeah. Arrington struggled.
Yeah, he didn't, and he really didn't play in the last game because he got hurt on, like, the first play. So, non-factor there.
All right. Tim in Baltimore, now that we've seen the 2011 first-round draft, we wanted to go against the 2011 first-round draft pick we got. Did Bill make the right choice? Now that we've seen the...
On Sunday, he did. Solda dominated him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you see. Yep. Yeah. I mean,
even alone, Fred's having inner dialogue.
It's the right choice for what your team needed. And we needed a left tackle, you know, so probably more so than an edge rusher.
And plus, we didn't have an opportunity to draft Robert Quinn anyway. He was gone 3 picks earlier.
Let's see. Jose writes in.
Oh, boy. Having a little episode there?
Furball.
Yeah.
How's your? Do you have a cold? Or are you just
No, I have a cold.
Yeah.
I caught it.
On the plane?
Somewhere, I don't know.
Ted Washington's bathroom?
They have the mad cow disease over there.
They have the mad cow disease.
I had some beef, so maybe.
Nah.
Again, I'll ask this of the British people. What is it about the chickens in Britain that I can't get a regular egg?
Do they have large towns?
You order scrambled eggs there, and it tastes completely different than here.
Really?
Why is it? Eggs are eggs, right? They come out of the chicken.
Eric thought they were better over there.
No, I
like everything else.
Stop
all the
it.
Food was. Yeah.
Like everything else.
The service, the food.
The coworkers.
Do you find?
that goes without saying. You don't have to.
Do you find that you act more polite when you're overseas, Eric?
Do you find that you break out into an accent when you're overseas, Eric?
No, I think I think you. Maybe you go out of your way no matter where you are, not just overseas, but like. We went to Seattle, for instance, and like you're dealing with people in the hospitality industry. You try to know, the service industry. You try to be, you know.
You depend on them for service.
Exactly.
Right.
So you try to, I think you naturally try to do that, no matter where you are.
I think whenever you encounter someone that you don't know, you might act more polite than you normally might,
which
in everyday life.
And you know, it would be nice if more people did that.
Unless it's a woman at Toys R Us, in which case. You
know. Babies, right? Yeah. Babies R Us?
It was Babies R Us.
Right. Jose from Northern California. Man, we should have picked up Deshaun Goldson this past offseason. That guy drops the wood on every play. Which player from the secondary do you think, guys think the Patriots will attempt to sign this upcoming offseason?
No idea.
No idea. We're dealing with this season.
I know.
Halfway through a season,
well, why
do
so many fans in the middle of a season so
because they don't appreciate the moment,
thinking
Fred.
About next year and the draft and
people
who's going to be a free agent
are just not appreciative of the moment.
I can't think of that. I'm thinking about right now. You know,
you're right? You should
let Floyd Reese think about that.
Exactly. If you're always thinking about the future, you never enjoy the present.
Right. Mike writes in from Ottawa. Have you ever been to Ottawa?
Ottawa.
No, I've only been to Niagara Falls side of Canada.
Mike says, am I being too optimistic? You guys tell me what you think. Recently, I've been watching Jason Pierre-Paul just to see what a great elite defensive end is like, since I've watched Chandler Jones in every snap of our defensive play for the season. Frankly, minus the physical resemblance of the two, they have incredibly similar skill set. The differences lie in where Chandler Jones shows consistent plays on run stopping, where JPP tends to knock down balls more from the line of scrimmage, the most recently one being an interception return for a touchdown. So am I the only one who thinks Chandler Jones not only could be an elite player, maybe Chandler Jones is already there and still getting better?
He's still getting better, that's for sure. But
yeah,
I don't think
wouldn't call him an elite player.
I don't
yet.
Think he's an elite
no.
player.
Not yet.
He has the potential, maybe, if he continues on this.
Yeah, and I do,
of course, program,
I
right.
do think, and I know it was a cliche because so many people said it, but I do think he has similarities to Pierre-Paul. I think the long arms and legs and the athleticism, I don't think he's anywhere near as fast as Pierre-Paul. I'll say that. But I think he is absolutely getting better, and
sure.
why wouldn't he be? He's only played 8 games.
And he has six and a half? What does he have now?
Six sacks.
I mean, that's.
I thought it was 6.5, but.
I thought so, too.
According to the stats.
Maybe
they took a half of one away.
They might have.
But I think a lot of us predicted that was the total he'd have for the year.
Yeah, I predicted between
and that
six,
would be a good year.
We'd be happy with that.
We'd be happy with that.
Six or eight sacks is what I predicted. I didn't think he would be racking them up like that. He's going to be probably closer to 12.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
12 or 15. I think he should get better.
And the better the offense gets, the more he'll get, probably. Louis says, hey, guys, good to hear you guys are safe after the big storm. Wanted to start off my email by wishing a speedy recovery to Marcus Lattimore. That was an ugly injury, and I hope he makes it back and is successful in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
That was tough. Yeah, that was pretty nasty.
I just wanted to know what you guys think about Kyle Love being the most underrated player on the team.
It's a good pick.
Good pick.
That's a very good pick.
Yeah, he's in there. He's in the running. You know, I after I exposed him to everybody, now that people know about him.
What are you talking about?
Kyle Love.
What'd you expose?
I was on his bandwagon a long time ago.
Like with Robbie Gould?
He's never played better.
He's played as good as he's ever played.
Is he playing better than he ever will?
I don't know.
Is there a ceiling on Love?
Brother Love.
John Rook coming in today?
He's
here.
Would you run out of thoughts?
No. Just wondering what this.
You want to do the crossover?
We're getting toward the end, and so
yeah,
I wanted to
get
make
that
sure
crossover.
People knew what
How
was going on.
How warm is it
today.
Outside?
Yeah, Fred's actually ending the show on time today.
Actually, after the playbook, cold hard football facts.
It's not, but you're just dressed like you're.
Kerry Byrne
came straight from the workout, Paul.
Oh.
Kerry Byrne will have Mike Carlson on, who covers the NFL in Europe, and he'll be calling in at about 4:20 from London. And I guess he really knows football, this guy, Mike Carlson. He's very, 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 very,
very, very
well respected
in
England for his NFL
quiet.
Knowledge. So Mike Carlson will be calling in at 4:20. And if you're interested in talking about the prospects of the NFL in Europe, he would be a good guy to talk to.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, John.
Hey, Fred. Out of topics already.
Are we going to have a nitpick Wednesday?
Pretty much.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
too good of a game?
Well, if we have things to nitpick on, I'm sure that today we'll come up with them. But
and if there was a game that could go without a nitpick Tuesday,
that would probably have been the one.
When you're that good in all three phases of the game, I think that you deserve
As complete a performance as we've seen in a while, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
No real complaints overall.
Certainly this
season.
But
I'm sure we can find something to nitpick about.
Certainly this season it was the most complete game. Maybe the opener against Tennessee would rival it, but I think that was even better.
Yeah. Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. But now that we're at the halfway point, probably do a little retrospective look back at the first half of the season and perhaps where we can go from here.
Okay.
So that will be part of the agenda. And by the way, today is one of my favorite all-time holidays. Halloween.
You do consider it a holiday.
Yeah, Fred wasn't buying that it's a holiday.
I always did when I was younger. Now, I realize as an adult, it's not a holiday. It's a pain in the ass. But
why?
Well, just because the kids bother you all night long.
This is a money-saving day for me. Because when I get home, I turn all the lights off and I pretend I'm not home.
Okay.
Well,
you can walk around in your boxes with nobody seeing.
Yeah, but
I can't
do that.
Actually, my wife said we can't do that this year because we have new neighbors with kids and we don't want them to think that we're jerks.
Right.
But you would no problem.
I would do it anyway.
If your wife wasn't so nice.
Right.
Did you carve
you
the jack-o'-lantern?
No.
You didn't carve the jack-o'-lantern?
No.
See, we did. I did. I carve it. I don't have little kids anymore, and I still carve the jack-o'-lantern every Halloween.
Oh.
So put it out, you know, and put the candle in it.
Is that a euphemism for something else?
Carving
the jack-o'-lantern.
Carving the jack-o'-lantern.
Leave it to Fred to come up with something.
Fred's not here, Halloween.
Somebody's got to do it for Andy. Where is Andy?
Fred's more interested in bobbing for apples, if you know.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well,
he's always looking up junk on the internet.
Oh, that's going to be
looking up junk.
This
no, that's really the term, John.
We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, with picks and everything else. Stay tuned for John Rook and Playbook, and then at 4 o'clock, Kerry Byrne in Cold Hard Football Facts. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.